Show.
Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Goodness gracious, we're going to be so busy this evening. It's the 8th day of July, 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find entrance to the chat room. Come on by. It's a whale of a good time. Folks filing in now. We're ready with a good contingent of moderators. Texas Betsy and Sparky are in there. Bobby may be along later. Tim's already in there. Paul's already in there. Anatole's already in there. Good evening, one and all, and good evening to all who wander by later. Just because I haven't, said hi doesn't mean that I don't know you're there. So enjoy the full-on multimedia experience that is the chat room, accompanied by the live broadcast between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That is, of course, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and, well, we're not going to go through the whole litany of time zones now, are we? No, we're not. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and just a gentle reminder that we keep all of this going through your kind contributions. We're not selling anything here. We've never charged anybody for anything. We merely ask that you help us keep this going. And to do that, we try to raise $150 per night. Sometimes we do a better job of that than others. Sometimes I do a better job of communicating why we need to do it than other evenings. I generally despise the process. I just do. I'd rather be doing stories. But anyway, we made up last week's shortfall last night. So this evening, all we have to do is raise $300 to get busy getting out of the hole. So hopefully that will happen. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So too, under the tab for contribute, is the traditional mail address, which is at the bottom of the page. If you wish to help us keep this going by mailing something in, just please remember that checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but should in fact be made payable to The Horn, because Boss Man Wayne, well, the reason he's Boss Man Wayne is he takes care of that kind of stuff. I never see it. At any rate, we're trying to raise $300, 10 at 30, 30 at 10, 2 at 150, what else? 6 at 50, 12 at 25. Every now and then I just like to show off my math, my just crazy big math skills, right? It is in fact Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, the evening on which in which every week we celebrate the truly titanic intellect that is out there on an almost daily basis for examination and viewing by most anybody who is paying attention, the titanic intellect of the right wing. You might recall that the Titanic Tuesday is named after something said by a 962nd tier right-wing talker who once declared to one of his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking faithful who called in, asking why there are shellfish fossils in the rock strata of West Virginia, that it was as a result of the movement of the Titanic plates. Right. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic soft-boiled egg cups. No. So where do we begin? Well, a couple of different places. I find it fascinating. By the way, congratulations to the German World Cup team. They just did something that was generally suggested as not being possible. They didn't just beat Brazil. They beat up Brazil. I mean, they stomped Brazil. they took in both hands this ass and handed it to Brazil and said, "Is this yours?" "Oh, yes, it is." 7-1. What a stomping. Goodness gracious. So Brazil, the host nation of this year's World Cup, out of it. Germany, moving on. And so what, Argentina will play the Netherlands now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Germany and Argentina are, or not Germany, Brazil and Argentina are arch rivals, if ever there were any. And it could get real interesting if Argentina winds up playing for the World Cup on, you know, Brazil's, well, but anyway, congratulations to the German squad. They made it look easy. Would have been a good match for American soccer haters to have been watching, because, you know, they tend to sit around and say, "All these games are nothing to nothing and one to nothing. I don't see the fun in it." Oh, well, there's plenty of scoring in this one. Plenty more than Brazil wanted to see. Oh, well. No, we've got a full slate for this here Titanic Tuesday. I kid you not. And I want to go back to, because every now and then, and I have no way of gauging why these things happen the way they do, but they do. Sometimes stories come along that sort of just grab the attention and, dare I say, the imagination of the Horn family commune congregation. And the rolling coal story is one of those. I guess it's because it is so utterly, absolutely, and undeniably loathsome and mean-spirited that it does. In point of fact, I just got a note from our friend Patrick in Germany. Subject line, Diesel's Rolling Coal on People 2014 compilation. And it's from YouTube. And there are oodles of these things out there. And Patrick merely remarks, "Oh my God. And I thought you were kidding. People do that to each other?" Well, in the United States of America, we do. You know, because that Kenyan Muslim extremist anti-colonialist deep-seated hater of white people, Obama, is trying to take away our precious godly fossil fuels and impose some sort of Saul Alinsky dictatorship on America. And we're going to fight back by pumping out tons and tons of poison diesel toxins on people just to show them that's how, because we're just that free. That's what it is. We're just that free. It's happening all over the country. Florida, Georgia, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Oregon. Oh, really? Oregon. I got a story in from Jessica. And this is a happy rolling coal story. If there is such a thing. It comes from a website called bikeportland.org, whose motto is to inform and inspire. The publisher-editor of Bike Portland is Jonathan Maus, M-A-U-S, and he has the story. He writes, "A man driving a truck along Southwest Murray Road in Beaverton yesterday thought it'd be fun to harass a group of bike riders." And if you go and look at all the myriad rolling coal, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing YouTube videos, you'll find that bicyclists are a frequent target of them. "Because that means they oppose our good, godly, upstanding, God-fearing, hydrocarbon-burning way of life, riding them communist bicycles." Yeah, I remember when Massey CEO Don Blankenship said that public transportation and bicycle riding were, I guess, what, gateway vehicles to communist totalitarianism, and if we stopped burning coal, the next thing you know, we'd all be living 9 families to an apartment and pooping in a bucket. Yeah, he didn't put it in exactly those words, but we're actually closer than I care to admit. Well, that sort of room temperature IQ in the dead of winter on the shores of Lake Superior attitude obtains with the coal rollers. A man driving a truck along Southwest Murray Road in Beaverton, Oregon yesterday, and actually by yesterday we mean June the 19th, so the story's got a little moss on it, but not enough to keep us from sharing. Thought it'd be fun to harass a group of bike riders, but he got more than he bargained for. According to a Reddit user, the man driving the truck pulled close to the riders, and then as he pulled away, he really got on the gas and covered them in a big black cloud of diesel exhaust. What he didn't know is that one of the people on the bicycles was an off-duty Washington County Sheriff's deputy. Oh, we laugh with the goddess of irony, not at her. But we are laughing at the co-roller. The driver ended up getting caught at the stoplight a couple of hundred yards away, and the bike cop banged on his window and told him to pull into the shopping center. The Reddit user says, I watched for a few minutes as the cop was yelling at him for driving like an idiot and that he was using, and this is important, using his vehicle as a weapon. What did I say? That's exactly what they're doing. They are committing a crime of assault with a deadly weapon. The writer says, I didn't stay long enough to see what the final result was, but it was great to see instant karma return to the douchebag driver. All cyclists, including the cop, were in the designated bike lane. The driver went out of his way to get close to the cyclists. And it turns out that the people have been victimized for quite some time by this. You may recall I mentioned last night that there was a YouTube video going back to a co-train in Wisconsin in 2013, and some of this stuff goes back to 2011. They have been doing this for that long, these sick right-wing freaks. No further reporting on what the outcome was, but we do have some further thoughts on the issue. This via email. What strikes me after hearing your show is that if someone sprayed a pepper spray or other chemical agent on a person, that would be an assault. I see this as no different. Plus, and I was not aware of this, diesel exhaust, because see, this is what happens when we start thinking about issues here in the Horn Family Commune congregation. We go off and we find out stuff, and then we come back and we share it with the larger family commune congregation so that we can all be informed. So, I was not aware of this, but diesel exhaust enters the skin and goes into the bloodstream. The woman in the video that I ran yesterday could be asphyxiated with oxygen removed from her immediate surroundings. It would be an interesting case, plus in direct violation of an EPA ruling. I wonder if this would have legs in a federal venue. I'm thinking yes, as I bet some clever assistant U.S. attorney could find other federal violations. I had to view the video again. The woman is absolutely enveloped in the exhaust, and I do wonder what it felt like and how long it took her to recover and if she went to the hospital or even reported the incident. Plus, I am assuming that the exhaust was hot, and that must have really felt good on bare skin. I wonder if she received any burns from the hot exhaust smoke. Wonder indeed. Yeah, and the reason, and again, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think I am. The reason that diesel exhaust is able to transit through the skin and is able to get into the bloodstream is because these ultra-fine particles that diesel engines generate, and it's not just these guys, it's all diesel engines. They generate ultra-fine particles, generally defined between 100 and 10 microns in size, roughly the size of a virus, smaller than a cell, and consequently, there's nothing in the human body that can stop them. So, yes, it goes through your skin, and yes, it will transit into the bloodstream, and yes, it will transit the heart-lung barrier and the blood-brain barrier, and if a woman happens to be pregnant, it will transit the placental barrier. And so it is that they're not just ignorant, they're mean, okay? YouTube is replete with videos of these jackasses proudly putting up videos of themselves committing a crime against the bodies of other human beings. This is on a par, an intelligence par, with a mugger putting a video up of himself mugging someone. Hey, y'all. Yeah, with the phone. Hey, y'all, watch this. Hey, lady, give me your piece. Woo! Yeah. The only thing is, the mugger just steals the purse. He doesn't immerse his victim in poison that can result in cancer and all manner of god-awful diseases down the road. But I did appreciate the analogy with, say, pepper spray. And remember, we went to war with Iraq because it was thought that he had chemical weapons. When, lo and behold, right here at home, a nasty little insurgency was forming whereby right-wing, ignorant, stupid, vicious American citizens were using a chemical weapon on their own fellow citizens. That's what Roland Cole is. Roland Cole is a chemical weapon. And it's not a chemical weapon where we don't know anything necessarily about the chemical in question. There is lots of data about the harmful effects of diesel fumes. I saw that Chris Hayes covered the issue. Sparky posted that to my Facebook page. And the folks that produce his program and do a magnificent job in the process found a clip of a young man voluntarily gassing himself. He stuck his face in the smokestack of a co-rolling diesel pickup truck. And willingly had his face besooted and invariably, inarguably, unarguably, breathed some of that crap in. And everywhere that it was on his face, it was transiting through his skin into his body, where it would sit down and begin mutating cells, so that maybe 10, 15 years after this young man said, "Ho, ho, ho, I want somebody to roll coal on my face." 10, 15 years from now, maybe 20, he gets to sit in the doctor's office. When the doctor says, "Well, sir, the reason you aren't feeling so good is you've got cancer. Do you work around any cancer-causing agents?" "Well, no, I sell shoes." Do you live in a neighborhood where cancer-causing agents are perhaps emitted into the air or water?" No, I live in a little cabin in the middle of the forest." "You ever been exposed to any toxins?" "Well, back when I was a youngin', I used to stick my face in diesel pipes and snort the fumes." Guess what, kid? Congratulations. You gave yourself cancer. Now you have a little while left to live. But that rolling coal sure was fun, wasn't it?
Those are the real world consequences. And so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because the a spokeswoman for the EPA has said that this is clearly a violation. The EPA has regulatory authority to levy fines and I think even criminal charges against companies that deliberately sell products that can be used to make diesel engines more pollutive. So at this point in time, and this is, I guess, a part of a larger philosophical and political question, what does President Not Sure have to lose? It's not like they're going to start liking him anytime anyway. Bring down the whole weight of the EPA on these coal-rolling horses' rear ends and the companies that sell the kits whereby for anywhere from $100 to $5,000 or so, people modify their diesel truck engines to emit more filth. Bust them. Put them out of business. Circulate a memo to every law enforcement agency in the United States to the effect that rolling coal is, in fact, a violation of the law of the United States. And should it be witnessed, they should be charged. And the case handed over to the local U.S. attorney for complete prosecution under the law. By the way, Tim from L.A. just went out and did a little research on assault with a deadly weapon in Oregon. Let's look through them. Let's see. Assault 4 with a deadly weapon is a misdemeanor. Intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly causing physical injury to a person, like a fist fight without weapons, or criminal negligence causing physical injury to using a deadly weapon. No. Assault 3, Class C felony, recklessly causing serious physical injury to another by means of a deadly or dangerous weapon, or by manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life, with or without a weapon, or with the aid of someone else, like if two or more people beat up another person, or a public civil servant in the operation of his duties. How about assault 2, a Class B felony? This comes with a potential maximum fine of $250,000 and 10 years in the cooler. Intentionally or knowingly causing serious physical injury to another, and I would say deliberately subjecting someone to known cancer-causing chemicals and air toxins probably would fall under that heading. By means of a deadly or dangerous weapon, such as a knife or a club, or how about a diesel pickup truck? Or recklessly causing serious physical injury to another by means of a deadly or dangerous weapon, manifesting an extreme indifference to the value of human life. And then Class 1 is $375,000 fine and 20 years in prison. Wouldn't you love to see one of these coal rollers go up for about 20? Hopefully, if one of these goobers gets caught in Oregon, now that they have made a spectacle of themselves, they will feel the full weight, force, and effect of the law. Bean noting in the chat room, it might be tricky getting diesel considered to be a dangerous weapon. Got to pull the right judge. No, there's no doubt that a vehicle, an automobile, is a dangerous weapon. Is there any doubt that if you tried to run someone down with an automobile? No, there isn't. No, didn't think so. And see, the fun thing is, I doubt that the court would hear as a defense, and this is merely a lay opinion, but I doubt the court would hear as a defense, yeah, but that Obama's a man Kenyan Muslim who stole the presidency and and was born in Kenya and not Hawaii and Benghazi. Yeah, diesel fumes, Bing. Because there's really no, I mean, we say that there's no meaningful challenge to the reality of climate change. There are fewer scientists who are willing to say that diesel fumes are harmless, I suspect, than there are who are willing to say that climate change ain't real. Yeah, Paul in the chat room asking a question, is biodiesel as bad as standard petroleum diesel? Yes. There is no such, just like there's no such thing as clean coal, there is no such thing as clean diesel. In point of fact, and during the trip that we took to Wisconsin, I had a chance to try to fill in the gaps in my knowledge with an actual expert on these, on ultrafine particles, and especially diesel. Not only is biodiesel as bad as petroleum diesel from an ultrafine standpoint, now this is not from a hydrocarbon standpoint, but from a or a petroleum standpoint, I guess, but from the in terms of the generation of the deadly cancer-causing ultrafine particulate matter, not only is biodiesel just as dangerous, actually, it was explained to me, the new generation of clean diesel automobiles, deemed clean because they don't belch clouds of black smoke, can actually be worse for you, because those black clouds of smoke not only have ultrafines in them, but they also have what the EPA classifies as PM10 and PM2.5, which your body can, to a certain extent, stop. The clean diesel vehicles, on the other hand, generate a lot more in the way of ultrafines. So I just wanted to return to the story before we jumped into the other aspects of Moran Monday. And we do have us some aspects. Emphasis on the word ass, I guess. What, you might ask, do you mean? Let's run down to North Carolina stand for a second, shall we? Yeah, do let's. The topic of this story is Malcolm McButner, B-U-T-N-E-R. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. He occupies the position of chairman of the, and I'll have to have some North Carolina expertise on this, either the Rowan, R-O-W-A-N, or Rowan County Housing Authority. For instance, in the Commonwealth of Kentucky stand, Rowan County is Round County. I know this because my great-grandmother, Viola Luzetta Choate, came from a little place called Farmers in Round County, Kentucky. She married up with a fellow named, they called Kentucky Joe, and they moved to Bloody Mingo, West Virginia, as he sought work in the mines. Anyway, so it's either Rowan or Rowan County, North Carolina. He heads up the housing authority there. You know, the housing authority on a county level attends to things like housing. Damn, the analytical skills that I bring to bear on this program boggles the mind. And housing is, of course, controlled by federal laws, like fair housing laws, that say that you can't refuse to rent, you can't refuse rent or lease or whatever occupancy to a person based, say, perhaps on the color of their skin. Well, enter Malcolm Mac Butner, chairman of the Rowan County Housing Authority. You know, they've been having these things in the state capitol in North Carolina called Moral Mondays, in which people deeply aggrieved by the subversion of what used to pass for as being, especially in the universe of southern state governments, a halfway decent state government in the state of North Carolina. Well, that government is gone with the dodo. The state government of North Carolina has been replaced by a gang of mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, freak, repiglic, and tea party, birther, deather, tenther, booger-eaten, booger-sphere, booger-vore, John Birch and libertarian GOP types. And so Moral Monday developed as a means by which people aggrieved, and especially the community of color in North Carolina, aggrieved by various vicious right-wing policies, have joined together to protest on Moral Mondays these policies. It is absolutely stunning the number of people who don't understand Facebook. Malcolm Mac Butner is one such. I say this because Malcolm Mac Butner took to his Facebook page to piss and moan about Moral Monday. In his posting about Moral Monday, Mac Butner, and do we really have to guess his political affiliation? I think not. Noted of a Moral Monday gathering, well, gee, they're all black. Huh. I guess the white folk could not get off because they were too busy working, being productive good citizens. Them liberals and Democrats ain't got a principled bone in their body, and they don't care even if our constitutional republic is destroyed. It's a 3-hour program, but it's probably not worth any of it to speculate on just exactly how it is that Malcolm Mac Butner, Housing Authority Chairman for Rowan County, North Carolina, thinks that the entire constitution of the state is being destroyed because some aggrieved people accessing the right to petition for redress of grievances portion of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, by doing so, are thereby destroying said constitution. We just wind up with a headache. It's like smoking ditch weed. But Malcolm Mac Butner, titanic intellect of the right wing in North Carolina stand, was not done. After asserting that people of color showed up at Moral Monday not because they were aggrieved, but because they were shiftless, not willing to go to work, and to claim that their allies, the liberals and Democrats, were trying to tear apart the country, he didn't want to put down his broad brush until he'd gotten everybody with a good tarry swipe. So he added, "To hell with the lesbos, queers, liberals, and baby killers." What are you having? You're tasty. What is that? Baby. Baby what? Baby. Meanwhile, his Facebook page was chock-a-block with Confederate fanboy stuff. Back on June 5th, he posted, "The primary difference between the leaders of the Confederate States of America and the Union is that Confederate leaders were godly gentlemen and the Union folks were not. Yep, must have been one of them heathen jihadi Union armies out there, all ungodly-like. And never mind that whole, he has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. Must be talking about the devil. Having been called on all of this and caught out with all of this, Max Buttner responded by apologizing. Oh, hell no, he's a booger eater. Booger eaters don't apologize. No, please. He said, I'm still protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution that he's sure the dark-skinned people are trying to destroy, and being of the Union that he says he doesn't much care for. Punchline? You want a punchline? Punchline. The county commission of Rowan County, North Carolina says, well, there's really not much we can do about this, y'all. Because it was his own private Facebook page, and we can't do nothing about his private speech. And he done it on his personal time. I guess they asked him, hey, Mike, yeah, Mike Buttner face. Did you write them Confederate posts on your own time, or did you write it from the county computer we done give to you on the county internet that runs into your county office? Oh, you wrote it at home, on your home computer, on your home internet, you did? Well, I tell you what, I guess we can't do nothing about it. No, Max Buttner face, Mac Buttner face, no. You cannot have your clavering rally in your office at the court. No, you can't. As that famous North Carolinian Andy Griffith once said to that famous West Virginian Don Knotts, you just beat all. You know that? You just beat all. As a further defense, Max Butnerface said, well, y'all can't get rid of me over this because none of my posts had nothing to do with housing or discrimination. Do tell. Didn't have no. Yeah, it wasn't no white folks at Moral Monday because they was busy being good, productive citizens, being at work. I ain't discriminating. That's just deserving a fact, right? Yeah. And while we're on the topic, and it seems to be rather an eternal topic, the right wing continues to be confused in the way of forming the intellect involved with forming comparisons. Enter stage right wing Dom Rasso. Sounds like a hemorrhoid medication, doesn't it? Dom Rasso. He's a commentator. Definitely not a sweet tater. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he was an Idaho tater. Dom Rasso is a commentator for NRA News. And Dom Rasso, I guess I've got to mention this. I don't like to bring the issue up unless necessary, but this is. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, see, Texas Betsy tells me I'm confusing my Maury Monday with my Titanic Tuesday. I think I said Titanic Tuesday at the beginning of the program. I hope no one's confused. I also said 8th of July, 2014. Maybe I don't think I'm quite as confused as Dom Rasso is, though. Dom Rasso is confused insofar as he apparently thinks that he, pale as he is right next door to being forced to translate a Chinese restaurant menu in order to vote, or sign his name on wax paper with a ballpoint pen, or name the name the 1946 starting lineup for the St. Louis Browns or something. Because, see, he's just sure that that Kenyan Muslim with the deep-seated hatred of white people is coming after his goons. I wish I was kidding. By this time, we know we're not. I'm not kidding, right? But he does get a caveat. The following video contains the opinion of an NRA news commentator and does not necessarily reflect the views of other individuals or organizations. Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Always with the shreddy music. Oh, and he's not just Dom Rasso. He's Dom Rasso, veteran U.S. Navy SEAL. So I guess that makes him some sort of de facto expert on whatever it is he's going to talk about, even if it has nothing to do with Navy SEALing. Got him some big old steroid arms and stuff. And, yeah, let's see. Civil rights.
Webster defines civil rights as the rights that every person should have, regardless of his or her sex, race, or religion. I'm pretty sure the right to defend your life is on that list, wouldn't you agree? Something I've been thinking about lately is that the Constitution, our right to keep and bear...
Thinking. He says he's been thinking about it lately. Thinking. I don't know if right-wingers should really be allowed to use that word.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
...arms is listed with our other civil rights. The right to worship the God you want, the right to say what you feel, the right to be treated fairly by a court, those are all civil rights.
What about the right to not to have to quarter troops in your home? What about the right to a trial by jury? What about the right to be secure in your person's paper? No, he didn't have time for all that. It's just your right to Jesus and guns. It's really, you know, we could have just stopped after two.
You're born with them, regardless of what the Constitution says. The Bill of Rights wasn't even going to be enumerated because the Founding Fathers saw them as natural-born rights that no one could possibly take away. Luckily, some of them saw the threat of future tyranny and thought it was wise to have some of those written out. So just because someone makes a law that says you can't buy, own, or carry a weapon doesn't make it lawful. Jim Crow laws were also passed and enforced, and those...
There we go. Solved it. Let's see. He made it to 1:05 before he decided that gun ownership is the same thing as opposition to slavery and unjust laws passed after the Civil War, which tried to codify elements of slavery into a post-slavery world. Yep, just another persecuted white dude.
...were equally as unconstitutional. Too many Americans don't think of the Second Amendment as a civil rights issue, and that's dangerous, because all of those rights together define freedom.
It absolutely is a civil rights issue. I couldn't agree more. You have an absolute civil right to join a well-regulated militia, which as of the early 1900s was redefined by the Congress as the National Guard. You've got an absolute right to join the National Guard as long as you can pass the entrance exam. To wit, pulse, height, weight, and a fairly lax standard of legal conduct. It's absolutely a civil right.
If you're free to speak but not to worship, you aren't free. If you're free to vote but not to speak, you aren't free either. And if you're free to do everything but defend yourself with a firearm, you're not going to feel very free when you're holding the phone, waiting on the cops to save you from a home invader.
Yeah, dumbass. The right to self-defense was well established in the common law long before the Constitution was drafted. And much of the common law continued as American law, both during the Articles of Confederation period and after the ratification of the Constitution. That is how goddamn dumb these Second Amendment booger eaters are. Booger vores out there orbiting the earth in the booger sphere. Do you see the conflation of the issue? There's nothing in the Second Amendment about a right to self-defense because the right of self-defense was not in any wise impacted by the drafting of the Constitution. It was a part of the carryover of the merry oldie English common law. It is often defined in some quarters of this nation as the bastard had it coming to him. But the Second Amendment is silent on self-defense. Utterly, absolutely, completely, and totally silent. It does speak to a reason for keeping and bearing arms, and it makes abundantly clear that the reason for keeping and bearing them is for purposes of belonging to a well-regulated militia, and anybody who can diagram the sentence, "See Dick Run," we probably shouldn't be referring to Dick as long as we're running. No. But that's the way these right-wingers lie. They take something like self-defense, and why does it have to be a gun? You know what? If the home invader's coming through your door and you, Colonel Mustard, clock him in the billiard room with the candlestick, that too will be self-defense. Because self-defense is an affirmative defense. It is one in which, let's say you have killed Mr. Body, and the cops come up and say, "Hey, you killed Mr. Body. We're going to charge you with murder." Well, you, Colonel Mustard, respond with, "Yes, I, Colonel Mustard, did kill Mr. Body. And I did so with the candlestick in the billiard room, but I did it because he attacked me first, and I have an absolute right under about 1,000 years of Anglo-American common law to defend myself against his attack. I want to lodge a Second Amendment defense." And you know what the judge is going to say? "Why don't you sit down and shut up before you get your own ass into prison? The Second Amendment has no self-defense element in it. If you want to plead self-defense, but it ain't in the Second Amendment. At all. Anywhere. By any interpretation. And the Second Amendment does not apply to candlesticks." But apparently this goober thinks that the only way you can engage in self-defense, and, you know, him with big old steroid biceps and stuff, you got to think he could probably at least throw one punch before he ran screaming into the night. This idiot thinks that the only way to engage in self-defense is by having a gun. Wolverines! Hoo-ah! What a fucking bunch of jackassed liars. But that's how you get to the low-information voters. "No, see, without you join the NRA and become a Second Amendment American and have a house that's just chock-a-block full of goons, well, if somebody comes through your door, you best not come at them with the butcher knife, because that ain't self-defense. It's only self-defense if you're using a gun." And the low-information right-wing voters go, "Oh, I better buy me a gun before that Kenyan Muslim take some away. Because I don't want anybody busting into my house and me not be able to defend myself because I ain't got a gun. Marty pointing out by email. Of course, one probably won't feel very safe when the home invader, having surprised the residents, is holding said residents hostage at the point of their own gun. And it happens more than the NRA is willing to admit. A lot more. Yeah, Jim, I know. Jim writing in, Dom what? Dom Rasso. Maybe he should wrestle with Jake the Snake. I thought Dom Rasso was a champagne label. Well, yeah, it's the really sleazy cheap shit, Jim, that comes with the plastic cork that can put an eye out. Ooh-wee. I told you Titanic Tuesday was going to have a heck of a wallop. Oh, yes. And we are nowhere near to done. And I want to send out thanks very much to Randy. Randy got us started on this evening's fundraising. We are only $290 away now from getting out of the hole. Thank you very kindly, Randy. What else? Some stuff you just have to, I don't know. Some stuff really does beg for the tequila bottle and the swirly straw. This, then, is one such. And I do particularly love it when right-wing Titanic intellects are kind enough to give us a... an opportunity for a greater a greater multimedia experience, I guess. Yeah, I think that's what I'm after. What do I mean? Well, this old coot's been around the House of Representatives longer than anybody ever should have let him stay. I'm talking about Representative Dana Rohrabacher from California. They're having some kind of weirdo clavern for, I guess weirdo's superfluous, for people who... think climate change is some sort of hoax. Sponsored by the Heartland Institute. Let's check in, by the way, representing Rohrabacher. No, really. Sits on the House Science Committee. Not kidding.
All right. I got a few other examples that I'd like to give you here. And what about the ozone hole? The ozone hole. Again, what we're talking about with our Vice President Gore, then Senator Gore. I'm sure there are scientists here who know a lot more about this than I do. But my reading of that is that the ozone hole is sort of like global warming, and it sort of like was an exaggerated position on some readings. and we ended up with the ozone hole. And
just question. I never think of California as being a place with a lot of particularly distinctive accents. How does H-O-L-E become a two-syllable word? Hole? I'm just curious. Now, if you're down south and you're listening to a preacher and he says, God, that may have already reached three syllables, or O-I-L, all, or G-A-S, gas. You have to use the phonetic alphabet to spell that. Howell. Well, okay. And by the way, since he wants to talk about the ozone hole, we sort of solved that little problem by taking proactive measures and getting most of the chlorofluorocarbons that we sort of profligately used in products, everything from hairspray to refrigerants, by getting them off the shelves. And oddly enough, nobody ever suffered. But because this is Titanic Tuesday, and because this guy is a Titanic intellect, because you probably could fit his brain inside the Titanic soft-boiled egg cup, let's let him continue.
And I have a quote here about the ozone hole from Boyce.
Oh, wait, stop, time out. Steve has sorted it out for us. Thank you, Steve. I think Steve gets the toaster this evening, at least the first one. Steve notes that Howell has two syllables just like dipshit has two syllables. Oh, he shoots, he scores.
Is it Renzenberger, then director from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who pointed out that evidence.
Did they catch this guy before the previous night's drunk wore off? I'm looking at the video, I admit. He looks like he slept in his clothes.
That the ozone hole, that's concentrations of this ozone, are expanding and contracting throughout time. And in fact, the ozone hole, after a few years, just disappeared.
A minute and 13 seconds in, still no mention of the fact that we took chlorofluorocarbons off the market. Oh, well.
Yet we were all told this was a huge crisis, right? And what happened when that huge crisis hit? We had to get rid of. We had to get rid of Freon. We had to get rid of all.
We had to get rid of it.
The stuff in the spray cans. How much did that cost us? When we spend billions of dollars needlessly because someone has frightened us into accepting a position, it damages people in our society. When you have less wealth.
Grannies and grandpas were dropping dead like flies all over the United States because there was no ozone hole. And we took away their Aquanet. God forgive us.
The people at the lowest rung of our economic sphere are the ones who feel it the most. And now, in this case, of course, what do we have with the ozone? It just also happens that, and again, I'm not making this charge that this was a conspiracy of some kind. I'm just saying that it's certainly worth looking into the fact that Dow Chemical's patent on Freon was ending, and they had a whole new product to take its place.
As he told Alex Jones about this, false flag, it's a false flea, it's a false Freon flag. Blah, blah. Or is this like Carl's Jr., where every time he says Dow Chemical, they pay me.
And, of course, we had to get rid of the Freon for everybody then to be convinced to get the new stuff. I'm not saying that was the basis of all of this.
Except he just did.
But it certainly is worth looking.
Have you ever noticed when a right wing booger eater, a libertarian, a bircher, whatever, says I'm not saying that, and then proceeds to say exactly what he says he wasn't saying? It's fun, isn't it? It makes watching news clips kind of like a parlor game.
Looking into, and I'm saying there are some things that happen in this world by people who are just that cynical and utilize that methodology of frightening the American people.
You mean like telling the American people that Saddam Hussein was behind the September 11th, 2001 attacks, and then knowingly using that dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy lie to get us into a war of choice that cost us $1 trillion or more and cost us the lives of somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 perfectly decent, honorable American service personnel. You mean that kind of cynicism there, Dana? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Steve, you can refuse to all you want to, but this is real. This really is Dana Rohrabacher, who has been a true asshole for a very long time, elected by, I suppose, similar people in California. Because Steve says, seriously, I refuse to think this is real. Seriously, I refuse. No. Come. We have to live. We're the ones who have to live in reality world. Okay, this is my fault. I probably should have put up the, I should have lit the duct tape and hockey puck symbol. I caught you unawares, didn't I? Sorry.
Because they realize that we won't give up our freedom. We won't give up our way of life.
Because our freedom and our way of life depended on Freon in cooking spray. Okay. Woohoo. Yep, I'm the last dodo.
Unless we're frightened into it. Look, I remember as a kid, some of you probably remember, one of the big battles early on was about fluoridation of the water.
Praise Jesus. I mean, really.
Man, Drake.
Yes, Dad?
Have you ever seen a commie drink a glass of water?
Well, no, I can't say I have, Jack.
Vodka. That's what they drink, isn't it? Never water.
Well, I believe that's what they drink, Jack, yes.
On no account will a commie ever drink water, and not without good reason.
Oh, yes. I, can't quite see what you're getting at, Jack.
Water. That's what I'm getting at, water. Mandrake, water is the source of all life. 7/10 of this earth's surface is water. Why do you realize that 70% of you is water?
Oh, Lord.
And as human beings, you and I need fresh, pure water to replenish our precious bodily fluids.
Yes.
Are you beginning to understand?
Yes.
Mandrake.
I love that desperate little laugh.
Mandrake, have you never wondered why I drink only distilled water or rainwater and only pure grain alcohol?
Well, it did occur to me, Jack, yes.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack, yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
Coco, Mind your game, soldier. That's nice shooting, soldier.
Jack D. Ripper should be named a posthumous chairman of the RNC emeritus or something. Because Dr. Strangelove has it all. A general with a machine gun in a golf bag. And here we are in 2014, fully 50 years since the release of this film, and you've got the NRA who goddamn well want every American to carry a machine gun in their golf bag. This used to be satire. Now it's reality. Lordation Mandrake.
Mandrake, come here.
You calling me, Jack?
Come over here and help me with this belt.
I haven't had very much experience, you know, with those sort of machines, Jack. I've only ever pressed a button in my old Spitfire.
Hendrick, in the name of Her Majesty and the Continental Congress, come here and feed me this belt, boy.
There's even a reference to made-up American history. In the name of the Continental Congress and Her Majesty, come here. Holy cow. But, you know, fluoridation. That monstrous communist plot, fluoridation.
Landry, you realize that in addition to fluoridating water, where there are studies underway to fluoridate salt, flour, fruit juices, soup, sugar, milk, ice cream, Landry, children's ice cream.
Children's ice cream! Yeah. You were saying, representing Rohrabacher?
Remember that? Fluoridation of the water. Well, I don't know whether or not fluoridating the water helps people's teeth become better or not. I don't know that. But I do know that in this country, we should be the ones who are deciding what we put into our bodies one way or the other, not the federal government or the local government putting fluoride into our water.
Everything old is new again. We should be the ones deciding what we should put into our bodies, not the government. In that moment, you recognize the core kernel essence of the right wing in this country. Government is an entity apart from we the people, even though everything about the Constitution is predicated on forming a government that is a matter of consent of the governed and popular sovereignty. And did I mention you're really missing a hell of a lot if you're not tuning in to Dr. Bill O'Brien every day? Because he is smack dab in the middle of all of this. His podcast address is at whiterosesociety.org. And he's been talking about these very things. And trying to reach some understanding of how we got from there, the Age of Enlightenment, to here, the Age of Derp. I don't know if fluoride helps your teeth or not. You ever notice that it's only after we've had fluoridation that we wind up with Bill Clinton and that one in our White House? You ever notice that, Mandrake? Pay attention to this stuff. Tim from L.A. with a bit of a blast from the past. From OC Weekly, Orange County Weekly. It's not, Tim reminds us, it's not a rag magazine, but a progressive news group. When Congressman Dana Tyrone Rohrabacher moved into a four-bedroom, four-bathroom, million-dollar Costa Mesa rental home on April Fool's Day 2010, the immaculate 6,300-square-foot property could have been featured in a glossy real estate magazine. Built in 1948, the two-story Orange Avenue home had been updated in recent years for comfort and style. The carpeting was new, appliances worked, and walls were spotless. Thriving flowers, plants, and grass adorned the idyllic backyard less than 4 miles from the Pacific Ocean. But it's now understandable why Orange County's senior career politician secretly changed the locks and refused to allow homeowner Robert Poliniak inside for annual inspections. When he moved out in August 2012, Rohrabacher left behind a shockingly horrific pigsty, a dump worse than a college fraternity house of unhygienic slobs unfamiliar with the most basic tools of cleaning. Yeah, this is a lengthy article. I remember reading it. Yeah, a guy who leaves massive black stains and muck all over the carpet through the house, grime encased, damaged, rusted appliances, everything about the house simply ruined. Yeah, I'm guessing that guy doesn't much care about the environment. Long as there's no fluoride involved. Damn it. So, yeah. 12 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We are $10 into our fundraising goal for the evening, which is $300. That means we need 29 more folks at 10 bucks a piece or some variation upon it. 29 being an odd number, I'm not going to be worth a damn at the mathematics involved. But we do, oh Lord God, we have oodles and oodles and oodles of morans yet to come. I don't even know where to begin. There's a fun little Wally World story out there. There's a story out there about why it's bad to be American and Palestinian and in Israel. You know, because they're our friends. Oh, yeah. And a couple of stories of why it's hard to be a West Virginian that back references constantly living with shame and embarrassment. Those are all on the list of potentials. Whew. So we'll take a little break. It is Tuesday, Titanic Tuesday, the 8th of July. And that means we have the Green News Report on the way from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, and your calls immediately thereafter. This is Conversation Radio, particularly of the listener-supported variety, and we find ourselves in bad need of that support. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. over me. The fear and insecurity. Yes, I am American. From Pearl Harbor to Afghanistan. Now Vietnam is history. And brother, that lesson didn't come for free. The politicians, they didn't bleed. Misguided patriots, indeed. 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 Are we an empire? Loose. Loose. Fast. Or can we find a peace that'll last? Is the answer here at home? Home. 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 Or is it buried in a foreign storm?
It's Tuesday, July 8, 2014.
Typhoon Niogari is being called the region's most powerful storm in decades.
Japan hit with monster typhoon.
The wind blowing so tough at times, it takes your breath away.
While Hurricane Arthur breaks records on the U.S. East Coast.
No, it's measurement.
No, it's not. It's speculation.
No time for deniers. BBC smacked for false balance in climate change coverage. Voters reject climate change denying politicians. Oklahoma, now the nation's earthquake capital, thanks to fracking. Plus,
liftoff of the Delta II rocket with OCO2. Tracking a greenhouse gas, seek of clues to climate change.
NASA's new climate eye in the sky.
All of those clues and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Wow, what a morning here in Waves, North Carolina. We are really getting hammered with the wind.
You're getting hammered on something. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, remember Freedom Industries in West Virginia?
Yes.
They spilled 10,000 gallons of methyl cyclohexyl methanol into the Elk River, poisoning the drinking water for 600,000 people. One in five people reported health issues after the spill, and then Freedom Industries immediately filed for bankruptcy thereafter. Well, finally, some accountability for that spill and for Freedom Industries. They were fined by the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
How much?
Well, $7,000 for keeping chemicals in diked areas that were not liquid tight, and $4,000 for not providing employees with proper hand railing to walk over the storage dike. So, a total of $11,000 fine for the massive spill that poisoned the drinking water of 600,000 people for weeks in West Virginia.
That'll teach them.
Teach them that crime pays and that it absolutely makes economic sense not to follow regulations, because all you're going to get is a slap on the wrist if you happen to get caught. Speaking of accountability, what else do you have for us today, Des?
Well, first, some extreme weather around the world. In the Pacific, the first super typhoon of 2014.
The worst storm predicted to hit Okinawa in 15 years. The results could be catastrophic.
Typhoon Niogari is the most powerful storm to hit Japan in decades. First, it was a Category 5. It's now weakened to a Category 3. It's not as intense as the destructive super typhoon Haiyan that hit the Philippines last year. last year. But Niogari is geographically massive, apparently larger than Superstorm Sandy. Meanwhile, in the U.S., Hurricane Arthur drenched North Carolina as a Category 2 hurricane over the July 4th weekend. Now, while Arthur wasn't very destructive, it was still record-breaking. It broke the record for being the earliest hurricane to make landfall than any other known hurricane in North Carolina history. And we know these things because of satellites. And now NASA has successfully launched into orbit a new eye in the sky to measure carbon dioxide emissions.
Zero on liftoff of the Delta II rocket with OCO2.
The Orbiting Carbon Observatory, or OCO2 satellite, will measure carbon dioxide emissions in the Earth's atmosphere, pinpointing where CO2 comes from and where it goes on a global scale. It'll help scientists better understand how CO2 absorbs sunlight and traps heat, the mechanism behind climate change.
You mean it will help NASA scientists with their fraud? Go ahead.
Well, in fact, climate science denial is becoming toxic politics. A new national survey confirms that not only do a strong majority of American voters accept the science of global warming, they say they're going to actively vote against climate change denier politicians. The nationally representative survey from the Yale Project on Climate Communication finds registered voters say they're three times more likely to vote against a candidate who opposes action to reduce global warming. No time for deniers on the BBC.
No, it's measurement.
No, it's not. It's speculation.
Well,
respect.
It's a combination of the two, isn't it, as is this whole discussion.
That was a BBC program from February, and now an independent oversight panel has told the BBC to stop using the practice of false balance in its climate science coverage, with staffers giving equal weight to political opinions of unqualified deniers over established scientific facts, misinforming the public on the nearly unanimous agreement among scientists on human caused climate change. Finally, thanks to fracking, Oklahoma is now the earthquake capital of the United States. That's due to the disposal of leftover toxic fracking wastewater into deep underground injection wells that the U.S. Geological Survey has linked to increased earthquakes, nearly 3,000 of them that have struck across Oklahoma in just the last few years alone. Now, yet another new study links hundreds of those earthquakes to just 4 unregulated wastewater injection wells outside Oklahoma City. The researchers say they were surprised to find fracking can induce earthquakes over 25 miles away.
Amazing. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Never miss an episode. Download us anytime via TuneIn, Stitcher, or iTunes. And find us and follow us on the Facebook and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma. Yo!
Thanks to Brad and Desi for one of the best periodic radio segments available out there. By the way, it was 300,000 people who got their water poisoned. 300,000 is enough. And, yeah, $11,000 in fines. But if you pay attention to what goes on in this region, that's not at all surprising, Freedom Industry spill, because I think, for instance, to a little fellow by the name of Jeremy Davidson. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the second hour, and we're well into it, of Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. I think of a little fellow by the name of Jeremy Davidson over in a little place called Appalachia, Virginia. It's actually the name of the place, Appalachia. Mountaintop removal rolled a boulder down on top of him and squished him like a bug, dead, 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 dead. And I think they were fined less than $20,000 for slaughtering a 3-year-old in his bed. You know, because regulations kill jobs. Fines kill them even more. They kill them almost. By God, they kill jobs almost as dead as a 3-year-old boy trying to sleep through the night. Let's go to the phones. I do believe we might have Brother Albert on the line. Is that you, Brother Albert?
That's me, Brother Bob. How are you?
Oh, wow. I'm much better now that now that we're chatting.
Oh, my goodness. $11,000 fine? Really?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. That's so ridiculous.
I think $1,000 of the fine was because they had one tank labeled glycerin, but it turned out to be full of methyl cyclohexane methanol instead.
So if they would have changed the sticker on it, it wouldn't even have that.
Right.
See, if they would have had two 50-pound bags of kitty litter, they probably could have cut that even in half.
Yeah, a little tiny. And that's the lesson. Don't scrimp on the tidy cat.
Sick, and depraved. And, you know, the silver lining, of course, for that news report was, you know, how people are going to start actively voting against climate change deniers. I mean, I can't wait to see it. I hope that turns out to be true. I know it's true in my life. I know it's true to everyone else who's probably listening. You know, I mean, how could you ever vote for Dana Rohrabacher, he is just a reprehensible idiot. I mean, he's not the worst of the worst, but he's certainly someone I could never vote for.
Was he part of the hunting of the presidential penis back during the Clinton years? I think he was.
Yes, sir. Yes, he was. He was. He was deep in it. I think I've only heard that guy say something I've agreed with maybe twice. You know, he's not even.
Did he tell the time or something?
The arms fell off, so, you know. It's almost like psychological projection when you see hands on him.
Strong the stupid is with this one.
Oh, for real. He's like with ISA. I don't know what's up with California. They got some real special ones out there. You know? I mean, Darrell ISA, that guy is just...
there's this little... It's almost like a redoubt or something. This little tiny enclave of weirdo right wingers, and they've all been pushed into one little otherwise lovely corner of California, where they keep sending Dana Rohrabacher and Darrell Issa to Congress.
And the movement is visible. I mean. Yeah, these people that are on the right, just like the glaciers have retreated. You know, it's so obvious to just, you know, if you sit there and just even do a flip test, you can see this movement. They're so far to the right, I don't even understand how they think they're going to get anywhere. I mean, what, 86 filibusters for President Obama, right?
Yeah.
Not just the nominations, but 82 for all presidential candidates. I mean, all presidents before him. What? Come on. You know, I mean, he might not be your favorite guy, but at least give us a reason. You know, the better reason than
But they've made it plain what their reason is, Brother Al.
Yeah, we know.
He's a non-traditional president.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And. You know, I mean, I remember the days when you could actually almost have a conversation with these people. And that would be a nice thing, but, you know, I said it before and I'm a broken record about it, but the mask is off. They don't know it. And there's no hope to even getting it back on, even if they did know it. You know, the horns have grown, the tusks are sharper, you know, the warts have grown. I mean, they're just ugly. They're so ugly. It's not even... You know, and so the only thing that we can imagine is that they'll burn themselves out. Voters won't be as enthusiastic. You know, there's only so many, you know, rolling coal truckers out there in the world. And, you know, if they roll coal on me, that's going to be one less truck on the road. I promise you that.
And that's not necessarily speculative, though, is it? I mean, there where you are in your undisclosed location, in your secret Sage of Southwest Wisconsin bunker, you've actually got co-rollers, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I saw them the other day. I was on a nice little bike ride, and I had to go in and look and see if I could spot them. And I could spot them a mile away. And nothing intimidating at all. And if he was to assault me with that truck, I've got the license plate. I know what it looks like. And I'll find it. There's not that many homes in this area. And I've got a bike, so I'll silently creep up on them. And I'm telling you, if anybody does that to you, I think Dawn in the gas tank is viable. Clean up their act, you know? You know? Clean them up. Little Dawn go a long way. It's only $250. You can put it in your pocket almost. You can get one of those little hand ones. You know, it's not going to take much Dawn to emulsify Diesel.
When I think of that word emulsify, Brother Albert, you know, the first thing I think of is mayonnaise. Because mayonnaise is a classic emulsification. You slowly but surely work some oil into some eggs and lemon juice, and next thing you know, you've got a semi-solid gel. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes,
sir. Diesel mayonnaise?
Diesel mayonnaise.
Delicious on fried taters.
Lavender scented.
Morning.
Not with Oxy Boots.
Yeah, morning fresh.
Spring Meadow. I'm for real. I'm serious. My bike, I got a little pocket back there. I used to keep a wallet there. I can go get a little thing at Dawn. If anyone's ever seen these videos of these people, you know, riding a bike up a real steep hill or a mountain, and these guys just going blasting them. It's disgusting. And they're laughing about it. But that's an assault. They think it's funny. If you've ever ridden a bike up a hill, you don't realize how hard that is. It's a really difficult thing. And the only thing you're thinking is pedal, 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 pedal. And all of a sudden, you hear this guy come out, and then he blows this giant 20-foot cloud of black smoke you can't even see through. And you're breathing heavy. Your cardio's up. That's outrageous. That is just, you know. And then, of course, they run away. You know? I mean, if you're going to assault me, at least, you know, hit the ground. Tough guy.
Well, and,
you know?
Right, but in conjunction with this...
Get out of the truck and smack me. I'm out of breath. You'll have an advantage.
But in conjunction with this, for instance, Robert in Australia just wrote in, Brother Albert, and said, why isn't rolling coal illegal? Does it not violate air pollution laws? It is illegal.
Yeah.
It does violate air pollution laws. But the thing is, the right wing have gotten their way left, right, and upside down and sideways for God knows how long now. I mean, look, we ran away from a bunch, we the people, you know, the government of the United States, we ran away from a bunch of gunned-up yahoos in Boogerville, Nevada. We're letting riotous right wingers assault buses full of children from other countries in Murrieta, California.
Yeah, for a bill that Bush had signed.
And for something that is for something around more than 4 years now, the government has stood idly by while these people performed vehicular assaults on other human beings.
Yep.
And I still, and I'm not saying I want to see this happen. I want to make that abundantly clear, Brother Albert. But I still want to see what happens when one of these coal rollers runs up against one of these grandstanders, and the back glass of the coal roller winds up getting blown out, and somebody gets killed. Because that is the America that the NRA and the right wing and the baggers and the birchers and the deathers and the tenthers and the booger eaters have created. Not are creating, have created. It exists right now.
Yeah, I mean, since when is it only liberals who ride bikes? I mean, you know, I'm sure there's conservative bike riders out there and they got their gun because they're paranoid that, you know, oh, what if I run into a cougar? Or we escape mountain lion or something. You know,
everybody's
got a justification. Oh, you know, I'm entitled to, like you were saying, I'm entitled to self. What if I run into a gang? MS-13, Mexicans. You know, they always have some valid, you know, some justification for their paranoia. But, you know, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, when that starts happening, they start shooting at each other. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, though, I'm for real. I mean, I won't hurt nobody, but unless they get out of the truck. But, you know, I mean, it's gone in the tank, at least. You know, maybe even if I got to release, you know, my bodily functions, you know, that smokestack in the back of that truck is pretty big. I'm sure you could sit back there comfortably with a newspaper for a few minutes, you know?
Yep.
And I'm sorry if you're eating, but, you know, I mean, what would you do? Oh, don't get out here. No.
And here's the worst part of it, and I want to make it clear that, as I kind of did earlier, Brother Albert, What about these poor young fools like the, I forget where the kid was that he was that was quoted in the first story we did about this. The kid, well, you know, I mean, you put a lot into your truck, and you know, your truck is your sense of self-esteem.
Yeah,
and I mean, you've got to, they gather together, do it, you know, because young males, let's be candid here, young males can be really not terribly bright, even when they are. They just have lapses in brightness.
Can't be helped.
And so they'll do things like sitting by the exhaust of a coal roller and deliberately getting their faces blacked with this vile toxic filth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw video of that, and my heart just broke.
Yes.
Because somebody, you know, loves that young person.
You know what their rationale is, though? When you hear them try to justify, well, it's not that toxic. It lands right on the ground. I know, I'm not making it up. I read the comments all the time.
Yeah.
That makes it okay.
Rain comes along, just washes it away.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
The rain hits it, and all that toxin, all those toxins just dissolve up into the moronosphere.
Water, you go to the toilet? I mean, that has to be the mentality. It has to be the mentality. Water? What for? I never seen no plants grow in no toilet. And
well, that's because toxic diesel fuel fumes have what plants crave.
Oh my goodness! You know, but you know, I still believe there's silver. There's massive silver linings. I believe the rays are coming out. I believe it's because, I mean, you know, we're talking coal, right? China. This is what I do like about China. China, by 2020, 6 years, will have 20% of their energy from solar. 6 years. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 6 years.
Yeah.
20%. They've already surpassed Germany. You realize that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Solar, right now, I mean, heck, I was impressed.
Doing that might cut their dead workers per day number down from, like, 700 to 650.
Maybe. But it's, you know, the thing is I think, you know, with solar, the more you develop, the cheaper it becomes. The cheaper it becomes, the more you develop. The more you develop, the cheaper it becomes. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, it's a good kind of addiction because you eventually, right now, it's too cheap to not implement. 58 cents a watt. All right, when we first started talking about this, Brother Bob, years and years ago, it was nowhere near that. It was like, you know, $1.70 a watt. And coal, of course, with the extenuated costs of coal not being factored in, costs $1 a watt. So solar and wind have been, for a while now, cheaper than coal. And more people, more and more, you know, even government politicians and more governments around the world, you know, we're headed into an El Nino, period. We're 70% of the way there. And I was, you know, every Monday, the National Ocean Average, blah, 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 NOAA, right, they post their PDF report on, you know, El Nino conditions. Don't believe me? Go look. Go look at the data. It's all right there. If you go look at what an El Nino looked like in 1998 and 2000, I think, 6, we had one. It's been a while. Whenever we had one. Last time we had one. Go look at what it looks like, and then you look at what it looks like right now. It's an El Nino. It's coming. You know, it's not 100% yet, but it's here. You know, of course it's here. And who knows how big this one's going to get, because the oceans are now warmer. There's more heat energy in them than there was in 1998.
Oh, and by the way, so, how much fun has the typhoon that I can't pronounce in Japan generated so far?
It's pretty big.
It's right here.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
400 kilometers or something. Super typhoon, actually. Yeah, so it's not even a typhoon anymore. It's not a super typhoon, and it's not, you know, they're saying it's not going to be as bad as Haiyan, and it's going to hit Okinawa, and, you know, well, great. You know, I mean, it's just, but the thing is when we see El Ninos, you know what we start seeing now. we're going to start seeing them kind of storms hit California, which, you know, granted, they do need some water, but they're going to get more water than they really, I think, they can handle, especially with all these just relentless years where they're having wildfires in the winter and wildfires in the spring and wildfires in the fall. And summer is just too goddamn hot to fire, so it doesn't come in the summer. It's like ridiculous over there. You know, they've been on about, what, how many year drought now? You see those pictures of those lakes?
That's what those
you
are?
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
or used to be,
know.
Right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, used to be within, you know, a few years that these lakes are gone. I was reading an article where they were auctioning off the last water rights or something for, like, millions of dollars or something ridiculous like that. Get your water here. Get your water. You know, I mean, I think we're better than that. I do. I mean, I think, you know, we're in a big trouble, but the trouble's good because the trouble's the only way we're going to actually learn anything. So, you know, we'll see. You know, solar being as cheap as it is, it's becoming ubiquitous. I mean, I was riding my bike. Let me explain real quick in my little nook in Wisconsin. I after the coal roller, right? And this actually kind of calmed me down a little. I'm still pissed off about coal roller. If they ever do that to me, there will be things done, I promise. I'll go to jail for it. I don't care. That's where I'm at with it. You assault me like that. God forbid if my son is in my little buggy on the bike, you expose my son to that filth. Really? What would you do if someone did that to your child, your baby? You've seen little baby Leto. Oh, my goodness, how gorgeous. I'll post a picture for everybody so they can see you. He deserves that. Right? Right? No.
Well,
no,
it wouldn't happen to him if you didn't support that Kenyan Muslim socialist anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. We're just trying to make a better non-job killing world for him to grow up in and be a good pro.
Yes, sir. Well, good luck getting to that future because your truck ain't going to run. I promise.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that a new genre of humor has just been invented in the chat room, Brother Albert. Yeah. What did one coal roller say to the other? I'm a goddamn dumbass too.
Woo-hoo!
And my favorite remains from the clip I played last night. One of the early comments in the thread on the YouTube account is, "Well, they probably wouldn't have done that to her if she hadn't been dressed like a slutty person."
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's what we're seeing here, Brother Albert. There, all these right-wing tropes are beginning to overlap. It's kind of like when you take when you were a kid and you took the clothespin and the playing card and you put it in the spokes of your bicycle and it went. Well, they're beginning to over. You know, it's like riffling the cards when you're shuffling it. Yeah, it's happening. We're watching it happen. So you get vicious sexism wrapped in with environmental toxification. I mean, they're going, and I know you and the Horn family commune congregation know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. They are going for the unified field theory of booger eatery.
No doubt. I mean, if we're talking vehicles, you know, they're building ideology the way GM builds transmissions and computer programs to run those things, and you know, we're building a future that's like a Tesla, and it's made out of aerospace-grade bolts. You know, it breaks the machine that tries to flip the car. It wins every award ever conceived of, and it's the first car they ever really built.
I noticed a little something going down in Southern California in the wee early morning hours of July the 4th.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Some idiot broke into a Tesla dealership and stole a Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeded to lead police on a high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually wrecked the car. The car burst into flames and broke in half, and the back half of the Tesla wound up lodged between the walls of a Jewish synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was crazy. If you haven't seen that image, look at it.
Yeah, it was. How did that, you know, physics, you know.
How did you fit that into that space? What?
But the upshot of it was and this was in all the reportage, the Tesla immediately broke into a conflagration of flames. As if to say that some gasoline engine powered automobile, you know, wouldn't.
Yeah, I saw the fire. It was nothing. It was two little pockets of fire, and the batteries would like whiz off, and they'd be like jumping jacks for a little bit. No big deal. It really wasn't, you know. You know, the guy was doing 100 miles an hour, by the way, and probably over that. He was going so fast, the police got into a little wreck, and they stopped chasing him.
Right.
And it was about 3 or 4 miles down the road where he did. And, you know, I think the real, you know, crazy key of the story, he lived. The car was ripped in half, and he lived, which is nuts. You know, I think that's a testimony to how safe they built that thing. You know, I mean, yeah, the car was ripped in half, but he lived. And I'll tell you what, I don't know. I hope if I ever get into an accident, well, I hope I don't get in an accident like that, but if I ever get into an accident where my car's ripped in half, I hope I live, you know, unless I stole it and stuff. But the other thing is, why didn't the police just hit the button and shut the Tesla off? Like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah,
they wanted to get their adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If I fix.
Yeah. But,
I mean, Tesla's, you know, to me, you know, I know I've been calling on it for years, you know, and it's really nice, you know, it's nice to see the share price, that's a beautiful thing. It's nice to see everyone really kind of jumping on board.
Hey, Brother Albert, for some reason we are having a terrible, terrible breakup issue. I don't know if you're out of range of something or what, but
you hear me? You got me? You got me?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, much.
Better? Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just saying how excited I am to see people, you know, average people that don't really know anything about these things, getting excited and saying, I would own one of these. You know, and this is now, you know, we're sitting here, by the time the Model E is released, which is, you know, basically the same as the Model S for everyone who's familiar with it. You know, you might not be familiar with the E, so, you know, the Model S and the E are going to look exactly the same, except the E is going to be a lot cheaper and shorter. Like, basically the difference between a BMW 5 Series and a BMW 3 Series. So it's going to look the same, just a little bit smaller, and it's going to be far more affordable. Now we have the, you know, the supercharger network going up, and by the time the E is available for purchase, they're going to be covering, I mean, those supercharger stations will cover 98% of the population in not just America, but the entire continent of North America. You know, and, you know, with Elon Musk opening up the patents the way he did, which is something I mean, I really want to call it. I don't know if little late, though, does keep me very busy. I'm just lucky right now that I'm shopping. But, you know, when he opened up those patents, I mean, Elon Musk is a friggin' genius, and I think we can all admit that. He's certainly a genius. He knows that, A, he had the best technology, right?
Right.
He knew that he wanted to make us – he cares more about changing our path than he does about making – but the guy knows he's got enough money. The guy's billions and billions of dollars. He makes rockets, 200-foot-tall rockets that can launch – stop in midair and then land where they came. They launched from. And if nobody's seen the Falcon 9 rocket, just Google Falcon 9, 1,000 meters,
oh,
and watching
no,
rocket.
It's very cool.
Blows your mind. And how is that built? How is that engine built? With 3D printing. I mean, this man is, I love Elon Musk, so back off. He's mine.
Little man crush going on, Brother Albert.
Oh, I love this man. How do you not? I wish all CEOs would behave 10% of the way he does. You know, hey, I've got enough money. I paid off my loan. He paid off the loan 9 years ahead of time. I mean, if you look at everything that man touches, is gold-pressed platinum. It's not even, you know, it's crazy. And I do. I love that man. I wish that more men, more everybody, CEOs and people like him would step up and do the things that he's doing. He single-handedly built the electric car market, just like Mercedes did when they built that their cars. And then they, you know,
that raises a perhaps more esoteric topic, but you've opened the door. And that is the difference between those of us who aren't booger-eating right-wingers and what the booger-eating right-wingers therefore think we are.
Mm-hmm.
They look at us and they see, you know, we've all got those big old shaggy Karl Marx beards. Okay.
Well, in the winter, I do.
Yeah. But what we are, you know, nobody's out there hollering, you know, to the barricades, you know, or you know,
yeah.
Yeah, pull the tumbrel out of the garage, you know, shiny up the guillotine, you know, we're coming for them. Nobody's doing
mm-hmm.
that.
Nope.
The people that qualify as members of the left, you know,
mm-hmm.
the wholly ineffective left.
The herd of cats known as the left.
Yeah. You know what we are? We're people who would like for America to be what America was promised to us it would be.
Amen.
Because, if you were born 10 years before me, you're 61 years old. If you were born 20 years before me, you're 71 years old. If you were born 30 years before me, you're 81 years old. And 30 years before me is 1933. Okay? Mm. What's happening in 1933 in the United States? Well, Social Security is on the way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The National Labor Relations Act that guarantees the right of working people to organize is on the way. So, there's just not a whole lot of people left on this planet who remember the brutal days mm-hmm. of America's nightmare capitalist past. And we still live in a nightmare capitalist present.
Mm-hmm.
But certain promises were made from 1933 forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not some sort of communist fantasy land.
No.
You know, we're not a moment. You know, the right wing thinks we are, Brother Albert, but we're not. We're not a moment away from the dictatorship of the proletariat.
No, not at all.
I was thinking. Mussolini. You know, Godzilla from Wasilla, and I hate to even mention her. But she started typing with one finger again in the last day or so,
mm-hmm.
and she was and she was talking about the incorrigibly disastrous and what a phrase Obama administration. And then I guess yesterday or today she said something about how he's been so lawless that if this doesn't call Benghazi for impeachment, yeah. that nothing does. And I'm thinking, we're not even living in the same solar system, sister.
Because, it's a different dimension.
Because, you know, to her, well, I mean, I don't even want to talk about to her. But
yeah.
the right wing has this vision that life is simply not going to be worth living if people can go to the doctor when they're sick. Life won't be worth living if we're not burning hydrocarbons for fuel. Life won't be worth living if everybody isn't pointing a gun at everybody else. Okay, see, none of those are the promises that were made from 1933 to the present. We were promised things that are entirely different from that. And from time to time, we've been on a path toward it, but starting about 1982, long about January, somebody jumped on the damn brakes and burnt the tires down to the rims.
Mm-hmm.
And so the world we want is actually the world that we understand America to be.
Yeah.
Whereas,
oh, yeah,
what they want is, mm-hmm. You know, they won't admit it, but they'd like to go back to slavery. I mean,
yeah, they want it all.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah,
because
no, I like money. Oh, I like money, though. You know, I mean,
how far are we from Monday night rehabilitation, Brother Al?
I think we're really far from it. I don't think they're going to win. I think we outnumber them. I think logic and reason will prevail. I think common. I mean, I sum up essentially what you just said with. What future? I say this to everybody. I don't care if it's a cashier. Like, you know, I buy a Powerball ticket. Absolutely. Why? Because, my goodness, there's a lot of things that, we've talked about over the years, and, well, some of these things that I would love to see be done, that costs money. I can't do it. I can't just do it with my mouth, I mean, I'd love to be able to just, talk and have it manifest, but these things don't happen. So, there's no way I'm going to ever get a job to make that kind of money, so I play the dream. Yeah, a couple bucks, it's all right. And the person asks me, I get my Powerball ticket and the Mega Millions, and they say, is that all? I'm like, what else do I need? $120 million, that's plenty, isn't it? And they go, well, yeah, it is, isn't it? And I go, well, they say you got big plans for it. I go, yes, I do. And then they say, oh, that's nice. I'm like, well, what future do you want? Mad Max or Star Trek?
It really is that clear, isn't it?
It is that clear. And everyone kind of goes, whoa, yeah, I'll take Star Trek, please. I mean, I've asked that question close to 1,000 times, at least, to just strangers. And I've had maybe 3 tell me, Mad Max. So we're winning. No one wants Mad Max. Anyone with a frickin' brain doesn't want Mad Max. Yeah, let's eat each other and then, pick shit for fuel. No. No thank you. No thank you, Atomic Wasteland. It might be a fun video game, but let's live Star Trek. Because that's the other thing. Star Trek games are never fun. So,
Hold on.
Is there a good Star Trek game?
There was an awesome Star Trek game a lot of years ago. a lot of years ago. Okay. I think I was playing it on a 486.
Okay.
Or maybe one of the first Pentiums.
Back when 6 megs of RAM were $2,000.
Right. Yeah. It shipped on a couple of CDs. It did not ship on a DVD. And it was called Klingon Honor Guard. It was a first person shooter, but my God, it was fun. Because it had.
There you go, but.
But no, well, not a lot of other fun Star Trek
games.
You
know what I'm saying,
though. No, I do.
Compared to, Wasteland, there's a bunch of games out there that, they're fun to play in, too, but no one wants to live there.
Right, and the thing is, you turn off the Wasteland game, and there's never a part of the Wasteland game where you go home to dinner.
Exactly.
I saw Ferg playing one the other day. Ferg and Margie were playing it. And, just everybody was bullet bait. Mm. And, you ran off and you stole an airplane and then you crashed it and you parachuted and you were back in the same shit soup. You were shooting at everybody and everybody was shooting at you. Now, what? Now, admittedly, that is the NRA wet dream, Brother Albert.
Mm-hmm. Till they're in it.
Right, and the thing is, you got to understand, your NRA gun goobs, they're going to be your shoot 'em in the back types.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're not, it's not going to be wah 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 and standing there and no, they're going to, your NRA types are going to wait in ambush and shoot somebody in the back.
Out honor right now with the mediocre rules we have. Once the rules are gone, just stop them. They don't have honor. It's not honor to take a goddamn AK-47.
Oh, I'm losing you again, Albert.
That is absolutely. I just wanted to discuss about guns. Now we're kind of we're rolling back again to that. And these are constant issues.
You're falling apart again, Albert.
Am I? Is that better? Oh, goodness gracious, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you gotta hold your arm up and stand on one leg.
Yeah, I'm on one leg. I'm gonna just get some foil, I think, in a second. is that better?
For now.
Okay. I just wanted to say how that SEAL, Mr. SEAL guy, all the government put the Second Amendment in for tyranny. They could foresee it happening. That's the biggest lump of crap I've ever heard in my life. And anyone who's under that illusion is...
Look, the Second Amendment exists for 2 reasons. Okay, maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
The first reason the Second Amendment exists is because the Southerners wanted to clothe runaway slave hunters in the mantle of state authority.
Yep.
And really, that's
militias.
First
mm-hmm.
and foremost.
Yep.
Second is that in the frontier areas of the United States,
mm-hmm.
the approach to dealing with the indigenous peoples who had been here for tens of thousands of years was to kill them.
Yes.
So the first two legs of the Second Amendment are slavery and genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is, God almighty, if the British ever decide they want to take us over,
mm-hmm.
we're screwed.
Yep.
And you know what? As well regulated as the militia could have been, we did have mm-hmm. that little dust-up 200 years ago
mm-hmm.
called the War of 1812.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody may have noticed, but with a couple of notable exceptions, we got our asses handed to us. That well-regulated militia and all them freedom-protecting guns were about as useless against the British as say, a 9mm Glock is going to be against a hovering
drone.
drone or helicopter or
you know,
one of those anti-IED South African designed personnel
yeah.
carriers with mm-hmm. the sort of cement mixer bottom utterly useless.
Or granulated sarin in a water supply.
Yeah, shoot them by the molecule, boys. Don't shoot them until you see their nuclei.
Yeah. But take a shower first.
Yeah.
Clump, clump, clump. And then they come in. Hey, Greg, are you okay? Greg, you've been in there for a while. You know? They don't understand. They have no idea what kind of death can be unleashed by the U.S. military.
But not only that, Brother Albert, they have no sense of historical perspective. I have stood on the corner of 2nd and Constitution in Washington, D.C., by the it is now the National, and I've mentioned this before, the National Women's Voting Rights Museum. Before mm-hmm. it was ever that, it was the Albert Gallatin House.
Mm.
And Albert Gallatin was a resident of Washington, D.C. It's one of the oldest standing houses in D.C., and it was one of the only houses in D.C. and the only things in D.C. that the Royal Army did not burn to a cinder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
British troops were standing in the White House throwing furniture out on the lawn saying, "Oh, let's burn this too, mate." What? Well, okay, they sound kind of Australian there. I apologize.
Yeah.
This will burn. I don't know. I can see like the great great grandpappy of Keith Moon throwing a desk out the second floor window of the White House, saying, "I forgot to throw out the desk." But everything burned. We were utterly hopeless. We were absolutely powerless against it. I mean, do you know, I'm sure, why the White House is the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to 1812, it had not been the White House. It was the presidential, well, it wasn't fully finished, I guess, but it was the presidential residence, and it was painted like, you know, beige.
Yeah.
So they burned it, and the burning was so bad that it took so much whitewash to cover up the scorch
mm-hmm.
marks that the young government didn't have enough money to buy paint.
Mm.
And so we left it white.
Mm.
I mean, you want to talk about pathetic?
Yes, sir.
We were defenseless. And the only real victory we get is after the Treaty of Ghent is already signed and Andrew Jackson, who had a taste for slaughter,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. wiped out a British army down around New Orleans.
Yep. Yeah, after the bell. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and they're just, they living, you know, well, do it, Bob. Wolverine!
Yeah, there you go.
You know, they have this fantasy land where, you know, I mean, they want to be able to, you know, carry guns. I mean, look. How do you not see them unhinged? I mean, my God, in Georgistan, they're frigging bringing guns into bars. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Churches.
Well, that's a great idea.
Parks.
Yeah. Schools. You know, bars and schools. Let's just make it all one, right? That way, I can have a drink and make sure my kids are safe.
They can do their ciphering.
I mean, you know.
And there's layers upon layers upon layers of this stuff, of the degree to which they are not screwed into reality.
No, sir.
I mean, it's laughable.
The future is ours. It always has been. It always will be. Sometimes it's really hard for us to look over that hill, you know, to look over the horizon. But we have to remember, we always win. We always win. Always.
I mean, I've got...
We're always going to step forward. It's not going to be maybe as fast as we like, but we'll win. There's no doubt in my mind.
And I have to share this with you, though. We have a new Get a Brain Morans poster girl. Are you aware of this?
Oh, yeah, I saw her. Oh, I'm so happy.
She's
that she
from
did
West
that.
Virginia.
Good call.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Stop it. So she's this right-wing fundy woman with a couple of little kids, and I guess she's married to some veteran or something or another. And she's a Bible-believing, Christian, God-fearing, Republican, teabagging, you know, what have you. So she thought it would be fun. Dr. John turned me on to this in my email this morning. She thought it would be just Jim Dandy good fun, Brother Albert, for her to go, and she got her a cup from the Chick-fil-A, and she wore her pink pro-life T-shirt, and she took a picture of herself. First, let's take a selfie. And she took it in front of the Hobby Lobby down on Corridor G in south of Charleston, and she's so proud of herself because she's using her lizard brain. And then everybody, but just sort of in a perverse right wing take on Steve Goodman's classic, "You Never Even Call Me by My Name." You remember where David Alan Coe says, "I wrote to my buddy Steve Goodman, and I said, I have written the perfect country and western song." And he wrote back to me and said, "No, you haven't, because you haven't mentioned mama or trains or drinking or jail." And I realized he was right. So everybody said, no, what you need to do now is you need a picture of you in front of the American flag with your Second Amendment Wolverine's Freedom Protector and the Holy Bible. And because the goddess of irony never takes so much as a millisecond off, and because she sees everything, this teabagger woman takes a picture of herself in front of a flag, holding a semi-automatic assault rifle and gripping the Bible, and then lo and behold, because the goddess of irony just does not like having her little ironic nose tweaked, it turns out that there's a picture of a jihadi girl from Iraq or Syria or wherever. And granted, she's got the headgear on. But
more flair.
Yeah, but she's, lo and behold, standing in front of a flag, holding a semi-automatic assault rifle, gripping the Koran for all it's worth, and she's even got the same self-satisfied, smug smirk on her face.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a winner. I mean,
all praise the goddess.
Somebody sacrifice a rubber chicken to the goddess of irony, would you? And of course, she immediately found out about it, this little wingnut did. And so she immediately said, "Oh, is this how we play the false comparison game?" And puts up a picture of Barack Obama. No, stop. I'll lose you if you start now. You won't make it, Brother Albert. So she puts up a picture of Barack Obama holding out his right hand while wearing an academic gown for addressing a commencement exercise. You know, purple velvet gown, you know, and he's got his right arm out, you know, waving to people. And next to it, she puts a black and white photo of, you know, the little guy that we don't mention with the Charlie Chaplin mustache doing his special salute all stiff-armed. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be the same thing if both of them were holding were holding a Bible and an assault weapon and standing in front of a flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I hope, and this is just meanness on my part, Brother Albert, I hope the Get a Brain Morans guy reproduced, and I hope through the miraculous workings of the goddess of irony that one of the Get a Brain Morans kids marries one of this woman's kids, and we'll have some sort of
Frito.
Yeah, well, I was going to say we'll have the anti-Cuisance Hotter Rock, but yeah, that's Frito.
Yeah.
That's Frito Pendejo.
Or Doritos. Doritos.
Yeah.
Name my kid Doritos. Hey, my grandpa Dorito named me Frito. My sister Lays.
Cy Phyllis.
The goddess of irony is always. You know, always, always, always working. And, you know, I think if you know, it even gets us, too. You know, she'll get us. She's not, you know, but I think she just takes special joy. And, you know, like, you had to fold space-time in order to kind of come together. Because we have made that comparison many times. That, you know, the extremist, you know, Islamo people and the extremist Jews and the extremist Christians are the same. Fundamentalists are fundamentalists no matter what they call their God,
right.
No matter what they call their book, they're always the same. And, oh, hell no. No, yes, no, you're the same. You know, you want to burn gay people. You want to sit here and subjugate women. You want to, I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? I mean, it just, there's no difference here.
Right.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I think when these things, you know, this is the mask. That mask is going bye-bye. And we're going to win. We are going to win. The generation, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, a lot of youth talk to me. And I ask them lots of questions. And I cannot believe how inspired they make me for the future. How optimistic I am over it. Because none of them, gay marriage, isn't it?
Well, it was just last night that we had the clip of the oxymoron bemoaning the fact that young men, for some reason or another, don't want to deny women access to contraception. And, of course, Limbaugh's only answer for it is, and that's because they think it will get them sex. Or maybe, just maybe, Brother Albert, they're not quite the godforsaken barbarians that, you know, Limbaugh is, who keeps his wife in a pit.
Yeah, well, why can't they go to the Dominican Republic like everyone else?
Yeah. I mean, you drop by the doctors, you get the illicit script for the illicit Viagra, which is probably, well, it was under your name, it'd be
covered in insurance.
Right. Or maybe, you know, maybe you've got that little push-button penile implant back. God!
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you reach back there and there's a button on the taint and you go... Rrr, 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 rrr.
Yeah, the pump. Yes, sir.
Does that thing come with speakers? Yeah. Da, na, 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 na.
Hey, you know, I mean, hey, I think men should get that just if they need it, and women should get what they need, and I don't think it's none of our business. And, you know, I was listening to, I was actually the Eden Soy. You want to talk about a company that put that earthed up Eden Soy. You don't realize who your customers are, do you, dummy? You don't realize, do you, Eden Soy? Now, personally, I don't eat soy because I'm a male, and I don't need any, you know, progesterone or whatever the soy gives you. And so I don't eat it. But I definitely, I mean, the stores I shop on carry it. I don't think they're going to be carrying it anymore. I think there's going to be some shelf space. So anybody out there with some soybeans and a progressive bent, hey, the market's opening up for you. You know, make something. Make some toasted soybean milk or whatever, and, you know, keep your politics off the cover, and you'll do fine. You know, in fact, yeah, maybe a little progressive politics, you know, give you a boost in sales, because that's That's who you're selling to. You know, at least pretend you care about things. Obama, get all bedrooms. And then, you know, I don't know if you saw it. I think it was Slate. She interviewed the guy. Did you read that interview?
No, it was Salon.
Salon, yes. So, I'm sorry, I get them all kind of mixed up after a while. But, yeah.
Because I'm a man, number one, and it's really none of my business what women do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then why bother suing? Because I don't care if the federal government's telling me to buy my employees Jack Daniels or birth control. What gives mm-hmm. them the right to tell me I have to do that? That's my mm-hmm. issue. That's what mm-hmm. I object to. And that's the beginning and end of the story. I'm not trying to get birth control out of Rite Aid or Walmart, but don't tell me I got to pay for it. Yeah, because Jack Daniels and contraception are exactly alike.
Yes, exactly. Well, maybe it is for him.
Well, right, you know, yeah.
Whiskey, girl. And that breath, oh. Get away from me. You know, I've never had luck with it myself, so, you know, whatever.
No.
I try to steer away from that, but, you know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, as a guy, you get a good liquor up on it. Anybody got a crane? Where the hell did it go?
Yeah. You know.
He needs to go out of business.
Oh, yeah.
Because.
He's been, his bottom line is getting crushed.
Good.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. And see, that's what I love is the transition and the change just right now is happening so rapidly. It's just constant. Every day we're getting a little faster. Every day it's happening a little quicker.
And this Michael Potter guy at Edensoy, he doesn't know the first law of holes. He doubles mm-hmm. down because what I read was not my favorite part. My favorite mm-hmm. part is I got more interest in good quality long underwear. Than in birth control pills. I bet you do, Michael.
Yes, sir. Real quick before, we got to get going here. I had mentioned it to you, and this is the story, I want to get back to the, because it's the biggest issue that we really do face, and it's energy. And I'm a broken record on it, as you know. And, when we talk about the Tesla and its rapid successes, the opening of the patents with the market for Teslas, and that's what I mean. Anybody with a brain that sees one of these cars, A, knows it's gorgeous. And then when they see it go, say, wow, I want to drive that. So now all we need to do is, build the infrastructure up. And what is it more perfect? And I can't believe all the years I've been saying, panels on every roof, windmills where applicable, and geothermal for backbone. I just can't believe that. I mean, I didn't come up with the idea, but when you see the idea of solar freaking roadways, it's brilliant. We need infrastructure, we need jobs, we need energy, and we need durable roads. I haven't heard a single, and if anybody's got it, please bring it up. Because I haven't heard a single viable reason to not do this yet. I don't want to hear, oh, the money. Get out of here with the money. You don't even know what you're talking about. It's A, the roads are going to pay us back. B, these panels are getting cheaper and cheaper. The more you manufacture them, the cheaper they get. I mean, A, you're sitting there, well, what if it's slippery? Well, they have so much traction, they have to tone down how much traction they have.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard them say that asphalt is harder than glass. And I heard this from a quote unquote science guy. I think his name is Moose Knuckle or something. I don't even know, but he's got it in his brain that asphalt is harder than glass. I mean, you don't know the first thing about the scale of hardness, buddy. There's nowhere near asphalt, anywhere near as hard as glass.
Mr. Moose Knuckle apparently thinks Mo, as in the scale of hardness, was one of the stooges.
I mean, it's just, and then when you talk, it's tempered glass, 2 inches thick. I mean, the little raised bumps are just a beautiful concept that is going to reduce hydroplaning. And now you factor this in with the wireless transmission of energy from the road to the highway, to the car, which is, what Stanford did regarding, and they designed it around the Tesla. And if you ever look at that, I'm telling you right now, Google Stanford Wireless Highway. The first thing you'll see is the Stanford, you know, discussing this wireless highway system where they can just, you know, put little transmitters in the road that transmit to the cars and fills the battery as you drive down the road. And if you look on the computer, you'll see that's a Tesla S. And if you look at the date, you'll see that it's 2011. That's before the Tesla S was even released. So people are, you know, people that matter and have brains and have vision are putting, you know, just like the goddess of irony, you know, is, you know, mowing the path in front of these jihadists of all stripes to show their similarities. People, you know, with that we need, you know, the intelligent folks in the world, they're paving that path too. And, you know, you come up with an idea like solar freaking roadways, it's just brilliant. You know, you're, oh, what about ice? Well, you know, does ice build up on your back window when you put your rear defroster on? You know, that's the thing is, ice doesn't take much to melt. It just needs to be a few degrees above freezing, and it melts. That's why we're having such problems in the Arctic. That's why the friggin' ice caps and the glaciers are all retreating.
Funny it's how like, that it happens,
Yeah, it doesn't take much. And you're going, oh, you know, ice is cold. And yeah, ice is cold, but you get it a little warm, and it's not cold anymore, and then back to water. And, you know, it's just, I see that idea, and it's just blowing to me. And, I mean, we build roads out of asphalt. We build them every 2 years. It doesn't, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now you sit there, you think about the safety features that cars are coming with. They're essentially, new cars are doing more driving for you than you even realize. And it's only going to continue. It's only going to continue to the point to where I can, you know, I think one day I'll step out, I'll go to my Tesla or whatever, maybe XE or E or Z or whatever it's going to be, and I'm going to say, car, take a little Leto to the swimming pool, bring him back at 4:30. And he's going to get in the car, and the car's going to take him to the swimming pool and bring him back at 4:30. I see a future where that's easily possible because the technology's here now. And as we all see, I mean, when we first started talking, I mean, goodness gracious, can you imagine what the Samsung Galaxy S5 would have cost back 10 years ago? And now look at it. Yeah, it's still not, you know, it's not penny. It's not, you know, pennies, but goodness gracious, everybody can get one.
No, it's like what you said earlier about back when having 6 megs of RAM of memory was huge.
$2,099. $2,999999. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, when we look at graphene, you know, I mean, in the reality of, you know, these people, whoa, cool. Well, you know, the reality is we haven't even entered the age of carbon yet. The age of carbon is really going to be an amazing place. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, once we can get these people to stop dragging their feet, and I implore everybody, you know, when you see someone dragging their feet, go kick them in the shins. Don't let them pollute the minds.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, there's no getting around it, Brother Albert. It is happening. It really, really is happening. I guess some more heads will be exploding soon because those commies over at Apple have just purchased space for another 100-acre solar farm to run their data center in North Carolina, Stan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that much less coal-fired energy. Apple's good. And why would you? Coal-fired energy is so expensive now. Why wouldn't you just spend the money on the front end on something you're never going to have to pay for again? Why wouldn't?
Exactly.
If you're a capitalist, why wouldn't you do that? When Walmart, for God's sakes, evil, evil freaking sells posters, sells inspirational posters of the of Arbeit macht frei, Walmart. Mm-hmm. Now that's real. When Walmart says, hey, we're going to get off the grid, fuck the grid. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of flat roof out there, and we're going to put up a lot of solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
No. Why wouldn't you? Why?
Well, Brother Bob, when Elon Musk, right, less is coming and going, when Elon Musk says in 20 years solar will be the majority production of energy in the world, I'm going to believe him. He took that bet. I believe him. If that man says that that's what's going to be, when you look at his track record, You have to believe it. When I sit here and I look, and this is my new little thing, I do a lot of reading in terms of investment. That's what I kind of spend a lot of my time doing if I'm not with my son or, what have you. I read this little bit and it's just stuck in my head. Once I read this little quote, I just went, holy cow, this is insane. This is exactly what we've been talking about. Between the years of 1996 and 2006, BP, Shell, and Exxon, the three largest oil companies, hence the three largest companies, most profitable companies in the history of this, of our society and civilization, they spent a total of $260 billion on extraction and discovery, okay, combined. Between 2006 and today, they've spent $2.7 trillion. We peaked in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
We will never see that level again. Our days of oil are over. They have spent $2.7 trillion, trillion with a T, on discovery and extraction. They don't even realize that their little monkey paw is wrapped around the nuts and the noose is around their neck. And both hands, they got their feet and hands and jaws wrapped around nuts. And they're freaking out.
Yep.
Their days are over.
Here's the part where the reasoning falls apart for me. You're the CEO of ExxonMobil. Mm-hmm. And you're getting paid Starship money mm-hmm. for basically breathing out and breathing in. There's mm-hmm. not... a bricklayer works a lot harder than the CEO of ExxonMobil, okay? Any one of our, in within the Horn Family Commune congregation, any one of our union carpenters or pipe fitters or laborers or electricians or teamsters work a million times harder than the CEO of ExxonMobil. So I'm saying the CEO of ExxonMobil probably has some time just to sit around doing the whole Winnie the Pooh paw against the noggin thinking thing.
Mm.
At some point, if you're that guy, do you not think, hey, we just spent $2.7 trillion on exploration. Why don't we sink a little money into a factory that manufactures solar panels and wind turbines? Why don't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in the energy business. That's energy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Dom Rosso who thinks that self-defense can only be accomplished with a gun. it ain't energy if it's not. It ain't energy if we didn't drill it or blast it or scrape it or pipe it or frack it out of the earth. That ain't it. Mm-hmm. That's some of that sissy communist energy that can't make any money.
Which is. Yeah, I mean, it's just so short-sighted they have no ground. They haven't had ground for years. And the fact of the matter is their sources of inspiration are gone. You know it as well as I do. Every time they say that we've got X amount of years left of something, they're overestimating. You remember back when we talked about Saudi Arabia, said, and this was in 2006, I believe. They came out and said, we overestimated our reserves by, 5%? 3%? No, 50%. 50%? You have 50% less than you said than you thought you did?
Yeah, because the genius mathematicians there didn't take into account expanding usage. It's the same thing with the coal industry. West Virginia's got, and I mean, this is within living memory. West Virginia's got 500 year of coal left in the ground. 10 years later, you know what? We don't have to worry about nothing. West Virginia's got 250 year of coal in the ground. 5 years later, that's all right, because we got 100 years of coal left in the ground. Our ciphering and gazetta department done told us so.
We've got 5 years left. We're five.
Meanwhile, my congressman, poor old Nick Rahal, didn't get the memo, so a couple of years ago he gets himself in the deep doo-doo, as George H.W. Bush once said, mm-hmm. and says, Well, I mean, we got to face facts, fellas. We got 25 years of coal left. And the entire coal industry said, do not! Which is probably true. It's more like 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I drive, you know, you can, I can drive from, say, Somersville, West Virginia to here, or maybe from I-79 to here. And you go through these cuts in the mountains, because road building in West Virginia is no easy task.
Mm-hmm.
And blasting has its place in the world.
Yes, it does.
Because if you tried to build a limited access, four-lane, rapid movement highway that just went up and down every mountain in West Virginia, well, we tried that once. You don't get much of a highway. It's more of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But you can go through these cuts in the mountains, and you'll see these seams of coal that are at the tops of the mountains, and there's no mistaking that it's coal. It's not slate. It's coal. It's really coal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some coal executive drives by it every day going, God damn it, I'm going to get that one of these days. It's probably $1.29 worth of coal right there.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but
Brother Albert, it's 6 inches thick. Okay, that's what's left in Appalachia: six-inch thick seams of coal.
Oh, and then they want to make gas out of it. They can't stop thinking of ways. They want to put it in bread. They can't stop thinking of ways that we can use more of it.
Right, it's a floor wax. It's a dessert topping.
Clean coal. Yeah, it's going to be clean coal because there's none left. I mean, no, I think we have. I mean, there's probably plenty around.
But let's look at the opposite side of that coin real quick, just for a second. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that just bugs the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, the coal industry is going to go until there's nothing to get.
Yep.
And they're gonna leave in the dark and the still of the night like a.
Mm-hmm.
Like a John trying to stiff his.
They're junkies.
Yeah. So
they're junkies.
And we're gonna, you know, and we're gonna be the people who wake up sticky, broken, confused, as Sam Kinison once said.
Yep.
But here's the deal. The coal industry will take what they can get, and when it's all gone, they'll sneak out.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, when we wake up sticky, broken, confused. There are certain people whose job it is to claim that they are fighting the coal industry who will say, hey, look, they're gone.
Mm.
Son of a bitch, we won.
Mm.
You know, you declare victory when there's no, you know, when there's nothing, there's no field of battle left.
Yeah.
And I want to win before they do. I don't want to say, hey, look at all the devastation, we won.
We're winning, Brother Bob. It's just, I mean, just the economics of it are, I mean, in two years, what they're projecting, and trust me when I tell you, I read this stuff constantly. I read oil stuff. I read coal stuff. I just read that stuff out of interest. Not that I'm going to invest in it, but I read it because the real information is contained, you know, you're not going to get it on the TV. You're going to get it in their financial disclosures. You know, when fracking companies are losing their ass constantly, they have to sell. The only way they're making profits is when they sell a rig. They're not making profits off gas. They're losing their ass on stuff. The shale, I mean, you know, we're projecting the Eagle Shale, the Bakken Shale to be done by 2016, 2017. That's a real long ways away, ain't it? We've got a surplus, but that's the beauty of fracking. It's not a well, it's not a reserve, it's the, you know, it's like the liquor that sticks to the glass, to the bottle after you poured the last shot. You let it sit for an hour. That's fracking. No, look, we got one more shot left, boys. Let's have a party. That's not, you know what I mean? Like, their supplies are gone. Their economic model is destitute. The fact is that renewables are, without question, cheaper and better, and it's every few weeks. Don't believe me, go look. Just look at this stuff. Look at it. When we sit there and we look, 2 years, they're projecting 28 cents per watt solar PV. 28 cents per watt. That's cheaper. That's so ridiculously cheap, it's not even funny. It's too cheap to not use. I mean, as we sit right now, everybody probably listening to the Horn family, we're all the cutting edge, by the way, if you didn't realize it yet. Yes, you are.
You're listening to radio in the future.
Yeah, exactly. We all. I mean, you sit there. I don't know what you pay for electricity. I know what I pay. It's about $200 a month. Okay? And I try to make
sure.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, well, you know, the pole keeps the lights on. But, you know, I do. I purchase wind credits. I do this. I do that. And I don't mind. You know, we budget it for it. That's what we get. However, $200 a month, well, 5 years, I can pay off a solar system. 28 cents a watt, you know. Yeah, I mean, most of it is going into paying somebody to do it. That's really where most of the cost is going. Panels are like the smallest cost right now. You know, it's paying somebody to do it is what costs the money. Paying your electrician, you know, because they got to hook that up and they got to put you a new box in. They got to hook that, you know, inverter up and all that other stuff. So, you know, that's usually the biggest hunk right now. And it's going to become ubiquitous. I mean, you get the tax credit. Else, I mean, I don't want to tell you what I see some people paying for solar systems in the right states. I really don't, because you're going to go, why don't I have that? You know, and it's, you know what's twisted? You know what is twisted about the biggest tax rebate for buying a Tesla is in West Virginia.
Huh?
Yeah. I just thought of that. I remembered that. The biggest tax chunk rebate, you know, you get a green car rebate, minimum duty taxes, is in West Virginia.
Wow.
Which, that made me go, what? But that's just what I'm saying, you know. I think, you know, we're going to see it.
Should we add a Tesla to the Kickstarter campaign instead of the Maybach?
Yeah. Oh, man, are you crazy? You know you want to.
I only say that because this evening, Anthony and Randy are the only ones who have jumped in on the $300 hole we've got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've already got spinning rims, masseurs, masseuses, cabana boys. you know, payment on the Gulfstream 5 is due. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's too ambitious. No, all kidding aside, if we had a real staff here, we'd have a marketing pro who would be reaching out to Tesla Motors and saying, listen, no money need change hands. Here's a program that's been advocating solar and clean renewable energy for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do a little swap? Because he's already giving you tons of free advertising. You know, lease on a Tesla. Banner ad, you know, and I've said, you know, we don't take any advertising. It's all listener supported, and that would remain true, because there's no money changing hands.
Yeah.
But you know what? I remain convinced, Brother Albert, that and by the way, I got to tell you, Marty pointed out something. He said, from the Tesla wreck story and all of that. He said, so what the real story is, the cops couldn't catch him. A better driver is still going. But I was on a road last weekend when we went up to the drive-in movie theater. It runs from approximately Arnoldsburg, West Virginia, to Harrisville, West Virginia. And a million years ago, I was told somewhere that one of the big car magazines said that it was one of the most challenging, fun sports car driving roads in the country.
Mm.
And you know, when you see car ads, you know it's somebody driving around in Marin County or. Over one of those, what the Royal Gorge Bridge in Colorado? No. West Virginia, where sustainable energy was concerned. West Virginia was God made West Virginia to train the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we need, you know, we've got no solar charging stations, we got no superchargers. We need to just put it to the test. You know, how will this hold up in the brutal road conditions that are West Virginia? I think if we had somebody who would do that, they would bite. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I want a Tesla, okay? I mean, can I just say that? I want a Tesla. I'm shameless about it. Howdy, folks. I'm Bob, and I just wanted to tell you how much I'm enjoying. You realize that General Motors did that a few years ago. They gave year leases to a whole bunch of right-wing gas bags to talk favorably about their automobiles. It's not like it's unheard of. The only difference being money had to change hands because you had to convince Rush Limbaugh that he really did want to be in a Cadillac. instead of a Maybach, right?
In Triadelphia, West Virginia, there is a supercharger station.
That's true, and that's way up in the northern panhandle. That's almost not West Virginia.
Well, soon, Brother Bob. Soon. I wanted to look because you had said that, and it looks on the map. Yeah, there's a few. We have a few in Wisconsin, and more and more are going to be built constantly. And, it will be a ubiquitous thing all of a sudden. I mean, I've never seen it.
Elon Musk is going to single-handedly change the culture. But the thing is, I watched that interview that Chris Hayes did with him a couple of weeks back, and it was really inspiring. But at the same time, there was some line in there about
cautious.
About how, if everything went perfectly, it's still going to be eons before we've made the transition away from the gasoline engine. I want to believe there's a way for that to happen faster.
But that was before he opened his patents.
No, it wasn't. That was after.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was the next week he released the patents.
No, because they talked about it.
Oh, did they? All right, well. Yeah.
But I think that is a game changer.
It is a game changer. And I think, let's see. Nissan Renault, of course, what's his name? Gosen. He's another one that has a good vision. You're going to see. I mean, Ford, and they're going to sit there and do this because this stuff is already easy. And everyone's going to want it. Who doesn't want it? And it's going to basically be...
Time out. I had someone tell me last Saturday, I wouldn't drive an electric car if you give me one.
Okay. And then when I just absolutely, peel your paint off as I pass you and make you feel even more inferior, you're going to go, what in the hell was that? You don't have to. You don't have. You could be stubborn.
Absolutely. Enjoy your internal combustion engine, and especially enjoy when it gets to that point. Enjoy your $25 a gallon gas while I'm charging up my automobile for what, 75
free.
Cents a night,
free
or free if solar.
Yeah.
There's the sun again. Doot and doo doo.
I mean, really. I mean, it's the same with these rolling coal idiots. Well, you're going to protect by polluting your air and water and burning more fuel than your engine, was designed for. That's how you're going to protest. You're going to, diesel, because diesel is the cheapest fuel there is, right? You're going to ruin your engine. You're going to destroy that, biggest thing. Diesel is the expensive truck. I give that to them. It is. A lot of torque, all that stuff, but you're just ruining it. It wasn't designed to run like that. And when they start running like that, that's when you have to rebuild, no?
Yeah.
That's when it's time for an overhaul. You got to clean everything.
I remember those early 80s Mercedes-Benz sedans, like the 300D and the 300SD. I had a used 300SD once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you started it up, and it would, belch those black clouds of smoke, and that's why we got rid of it. But the thing is... They were five-cylinder engines. God only knows what the timing pattern is on that. But it was extremely efficient. Huge cars, got great mileage. Got out of the hole like, a 90-year-old on a walker. But still, the other thing was, it was a 500,000-mile engine.
Yep.
That was, you were looking at a rebuild of the 500,000 miles instead of 250,000 or 200.
Or 80.
Yeah,
those guys doing that rolling coal, I mean, that's crazy excessive. That's ridiculous. I mean, if they did that to you and you're driving behind them, you wouldn't be able to see. You can't see through it.
No.
What
I'm getting at is, there was an argument for them, but the thing is, and this is another case of America lagging behind science. If you ask within the European Union, about ultrafine particulate matter and diesel.
Yep.
Because, see, at one point the EU hung a lot of hopes on so-called clean diesel and biodiesel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bless his heart, Willie got into biodiesel.
Yep.
And as an alternative, as you know, straight up apples to apples, as an alternative to petroleum, it's a good idea. But the problem is the science caught up with them, and no matter how much you clean up the visible emissions from diesel, the things are still pumping out these ultrafines. And I'm talking about the really, you know, the really, really nifty VW Passats with the TDI.
TDI, yeah.
I mean, it's not even like driving a diesel car anymore. I mean, it accelerates like a gas car, everything, but it's still pumping the atmosphere full of these ultrafines. They know this in the EU now. And the shine has come off of diesel as a salvation against the cost of gasoline and even biodiesel. We're miles behind that because even the EPA, you know, the terrifying monster that is the EPA, according to the right wing, you know, it's going to eat up your civilization and kill all your jobs and rape your dog. Even their standard for particulate matter is pathetic. You get PM10, which is huge, relatively speaking, and then PM2.5, which is considerably smaller. But the shit that's doing all the damage, Brother Albert, is less than 100 microns, between 100 microns and 10. Whereas PM2.5 is 250 microns. PM10 is 1,000.
I just believe, and I just, you know, everything I read, everything I see, the transition will be, I'm more optimistic than Elon Musk even. And I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen very quickly. You know, I mean, even my father-in-law, you know, he's an old, codgy, conservative kind of guy. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good-hearted person. But, no about no electric vehicle. He used to say that to me, we need to drill now and drill. He used to give me that. And then I showed him a few Teslas, and that's a really nice car. Then I showed him what they do. And he said, no kidding. He used to race Saabs. You know, he was like, he used to drive, like, Saab racing, whatever he used to do. And, anybody who sees a car accelerate like a Tesla, like they do, you know, you get your knuckles get hot, that hollow feeling, and your hands get tingly, and you just get a smile on your face because you know what that torque feels like.
Right.
Anybody who drives that car is going to want that car. And that's why Tesla has sold every single Tesla Model S they've made. Every single one has been sold. There's no rot. The better and better they get.
No Herb Tarlick in the polyester pants and the plaid jacket saying, come on down, I'll sell you a Tesla.
I got them in every color, but they are fighting.
Oh, yeah.
You know that. And Elon Musk, BC, said when I go to this, I don't go to it. I look at the shareholder meetings. He said, we are not going to make any money on service. We don't do that. We don't. That's wrong. And if you look at any time, what about the time it's set on fire? Well, yeah, they set on fire, and then what'd they do? They upgraded everyone's Tesla. They actually, after that came out, they sent out an over-the-air update to lower the car a little, to stop it. Then every Tesla vest, and you bring yours in, you get this like ballistic cover on the bottom of your car if you want. And then all the new ones are made that way. That's that kind of response in a car company. Yeah, they're small right now, but goodness gracious, that's called business. That's smart. Not what GM does.
Capitalism.
But you would think. They sit there and GM what they, how can you?
Chrysler and Ford and GM are sitting there with 10 years worth of back-ordered inventory of buggy whips going, but we got to sell the buggy whips.
Yeah, we got to sell the buggy whips. But your buggy whips are disengaging from the transmission, and it's making the cars in neutral, if you're driving down the road, if you're going in reverse, or if it's parked. What was the latest recall? How many vehicles?
8.4 million, wasn't it?
what? Seriously? That's nuts. That's crazy. How can you buy that? I can't buy into that. I don't think
I'm incorrect on this, Brother Albert. Mm-hmm. Did you notice what was not included in the recall?
Yeah.
The Chevy Volt.
Yeah. The other thing as well, when you sit here and you think about, I just have to get rid of the car and get a new one here because, it literally fell apart. There's too many systems in it. There's too many things to go wrong. Think about how many systems are in an engine. And then you wonder, of course they're only going to ever hit 35%. Oh, no, Albert, they hit 37.8% efficiency. Yeah, okay. Well, Bob and I can put an electric motor in my garage that hit 90 pretty easy. We can hand coil that thing. Oh, you couldn't. Oh, well, test us. It's not a hard thing for an electric motor to hit high efficiencies. I can't wait to see the day where we actually take those superconductors like you see in an MRI machine. When you got graphene, which is you start dropping that temperature in that graphene, you don't have to get it too cold. You just have to have it sitting in a little bit of refrigerated fluid, like in an MRI machine, those donuts. And I want to see the axle of the actual motor itself suspended, no friction. Then all you do is you add a little current. Think about that for a second. You see what I'm saying here? Come on now. That's what we need. That's the kind of innovations that we're going to see coming down the pipeline. And besides the fact that, our wives could actually literally change an engine in a Tesla, undo the leads, unbolt the bolts, lift it out. It's 70 pounds. When you start thinking about how simple and how little maintenance a vehicle like this needs, then the battery packs can be swapped out. You can swap out two battery packs in the time it takes you to get one car filled with gas. Two battery packs in one. And that battery pack is like almost, take that battery pack and reuse everything in it. The battery pack is primarily graphite. The starters, and then secondly, which is carbon, and which we can also use to make graphene, and so on and so forth, and da 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 da. And then you got lithium ions, which can be recycled forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the more we use these things, the faster we get them, the lighter they become. It's just the cheaper they're going to get. We've already jumped over the cliff. We're headed down, headed up, whatever way you want to look at it. We're going. It's over. Their oil days are over. Our electric, we're not going to tolerate for not traveling. Come on. We all know this. You're not going to tolerate not communicating.
Right. And we're not going to willingly go into be some sort of Firefly world where there are spaceships that land on planets that are still pulling crap around behind mules. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Oh, by the way, one last observation, and you'll get a kick out of this. Tony noted on my Facebook page the picture of the right wing doofus lady next to the jihadi woman, and he said, "Oh, and by the way, the woman on the right could kick the ass of the woman on the left." No. I mean, I'll give big odds on jihadi lady.
Yeah, but I wonder which one's more of a believer.
Oh no! I know who the bigger believer is. She lives in Charleston, West Virginia. Interestingly, she complains on her Facebook page about that Obamacare done took away all my baby's heart doctors, and he's got two heart defects. And then it turns out she's not even enrolled in an Obamacare plan. Oops.
Your baby has two heart defects, and that's a tragedy, and I'm sorry for her.
I am too. I am too. She is another mother living in the sacrifice zone. I'm sure, being a right winger, I'm sure she's more than happy to tell you, co keeps the bats on. That's the heartbreaking part of this, It's not just the tree huggers' babies who are being birth defected. It's not just tree huggers who are dying early from heart disease and cancer and various disorders of the genitourinary system and pulmonary disorders. No. It's happening to everybody, but some of them, like the coal rollers, are saying, "I want more poison." And it's disgusting.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Brother Albert, this has been a magnificent conversation. We ought to just title this program Brother Albert's Visit to the Future.
Okay. Brother Bob, thank you very much. I'm, you know, sorry we don't talk more. I'll try to get in as much as I can. Thanks for having me, and it's great talking to you. I miss you very much.
Well, we miss you too.
Let's start to Star Trek.
Onward, into the future.
Engage. All right, Brother Bob.
Make it so, number one. Okay. Had to do
it. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Many obligatory Star Trek references in tonight's conversation with Brother Albert. Thanks to Brother Albert for the time. He is indeed the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. It's time to get out of here. It's been a lot of fun this evening, and no, we fell short by a few Titanic intellects, but by God, we'll catch up with them. We got three more days, and we're hot on their trails. I want to thank Anthony and Randy especially for joining in on the fundraising this evening, because the hole is now officially $280 deep, and tomorrow it will be $430 deep, which is a tough hole to get in on the first day of the second week of July. Thank you one and all, though. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the attention you pay, your comments. Thank you for being part of an ongoing conversation that's 10 years old. It's pretty daggum special in my book. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, one and all. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Head On Radio Network chat room. Thanks for your participation in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you very much and very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, Ben Birch is probably as or more responsible than any other single human being for the preservation of the idea of liberal or progressive talk and the means by which he himself at WhiteRoseSociety.org has preserved it on the Internet. Again, a gentle reminder to please check out Dr. Bill. He's going from 1 to 3 Eastern Time now. He'll be on at 1 tomorrow. And I mean, he has been parking them for a month now. He's been parking them in the cheap seats, just over the plate and out of the park. If you want to have a real understanding of the origins of this country, which is kind of helpful in having an understanding of where we are now, and especially the way that the right wing twists our history, nobody, and I do mean nobody, is going to deliver you that understanding quite like Dr. Bill O'Brien does. This is some really special radio. And, of course, you can get his podcast feed over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out always to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. There really is a crisis of massive human proportions in Central Appalachia. The ACHEACT, HR 526, is the answer and the solution to that crisis. And we will succeed with the ACHEACT via your determination, just like your determination is what has kept the horn alive for all these years. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.